I can see that some of the members are beginning to come in. But over and above, this issue of Northwest has actually taken out of this committee a lot of members, because we concurrently we are having an ad hoc committee looking into the issue of Northwest, and most of the issues that are being dealt with are involving members that belong to this committee. As a result thereof, we might have maybe just a reduced number of members. I will wait for Department of Basic Education, DG, or the representative thereof, Dr. Palio, to come in, then we can get started with the meeting. Thank you. Okay, I think almost all the stakeholders now are here. We need to get started with the business of the day. Once again, I do want to say good morning to the honourable members that have just come in, the MECs, from our provinces. I would love to have an indication of the MECs that are here. I can see Honorable Zongwana from KZN. My province is here. At least I can see Gauteng is here. I was hoping also that Limpopo would actually be here.
Not what is here.
Not what is here. Oh, thank you.
Chair, MEC Limpopo is on his way. He'll join us in the next few minutes.
Mm. He had indicated that he would be here. He was in the chamber, I remember very well. Yeah.
Chair, MEC Western Cape will join us later.
Okay, no, thank you. We are going to have introductions because we have never met before in this fashion. But firstly, let me take this opportunity to really convey our appreciation as a committee for education and recreation that you have responded so well to the invitation that we've extended to you. We have never been in a meeting where we invite all the provinces to converge at once under one roof. We've had engagements with various MECs for various reasons from various provinces. But this is the very first meeting that we've got representation from almost all the provinces. I think it's 8 out of 9, and that is really highly appreciated. And we are worried or concerned about the fact that, as I explained earlier, not all the members of the select committee will be able to come, because as we are sitting here in the old assembly, there is a briefing by the administrator for Northwest. So because issues that are affecting that kind of situation also would involve other members of the committee, so they'll be joining us later or as we progress, depending on what time the meeting is going to end that night. I say I need to explain this because it should not be perceived as though members of parliament are not respecting their own invitation that they've extended to provinces. As the National Council of Provinces, we represent provinces and we ensure that the aspirations and the needs and the challenges of provinces are actually communicated to the national sphere of government. And in terms of the constitution, we've got an obligation to ensure that we conduct oversight, making a follow-up on the commitments that the departments make based on the budget that we pass as national parliament. To that extent, we draw plans whereby we say this year we are going to be going to this particular province or these particular provinces. But because 2018 in particular is a very short year for us as parliament, we would not be able to follow the plan as we had drawn it to visit the provinces to ensure the state of readiness of examinations, to look into the issues that are part of your brief, the issue of school nutrition, the issue of LTSM. So we decided to change the plan around and decide to call everybody to converge and look at those particular issues. Amongst the many, there are many, many important issues that are part and parcel of the daily operations of the Department of Basic Education at the level of provinces. But we felt that because we are nearing examinations, we need to get an idea as the select committee about the state of readiness and your projections of the improvements that you are aiming at for the matric results at the end of this year. We are not finding fault, but we are inviting you as provinces to partner with you in ensuring that we improve the quality of education of South Africa. We whenever we go out, even to visit the provinces, we go out with the motive of actually assisting that we all improve, we engage and improve the quality of education that we roll out as a country. So that is the mode. We are not coming in to find fault, and please do not be afraid to raise the challenges that you might have, because it does assist us. During the question time with the ministers, we then are able to raise some of the issues that you are bringing up, and that will help the province when the minister responds to those issues. Education is a concurrent function, we know. But you find that when you engage the Department of Basic Education, there are issues that are raised with the department which should be responded to by the provinces in actual fact, because it is a concurrent function. So this will be an opportunity for honorable members to engage on those issues where you need to respond directly on the basis of the fact that you get equitable share allocation and you roll it out to embark on the programs that you have drawn at the level of provinces. But for purposes of this meeting, as I've said, there are a lot of issues. There are issues of infrastructure that we need to be talking about, but if you can embark on that one, you can take the whole day. So we've just taken these couple of issues. I saw your presentation. You stuck to the brief, and this is what we seek to do this morning. The program says we could be finishing at about 4 o'clock this morning, but one would try to ensure that we finish much earlier than that, depending on how we are going to be doing our work and how we are going to be cooperating. I've spoken at length. I am Mama Zwane from the province of KwaZulu-Natal. I am the chairperson of Education and Recreation in the National Council of Provinces. I will ask or request the members that are here to please introduce themselves, after which the MECs will introduce themselves together with their HODs, and DBE will introduce themselves as well. We can go in that fashion. Thank you.
Goeiemôre, good morning. My name is Chris Houghton. I'm from the Northwest Province.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm Tandeni Dlungwane, the MEC for Education in KZN. I'm with my team here, the head of department. I've brought in the highly skilled technical team with me to support me here. I've got Dr. Nzama, who's our head of department. I've got Dr. Mtembu, who's our DDG curriculum, and our support team, Mr. Mtetwa and Mr. Mbanjwa. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chair. Good morning, everyone. My name is Banyaza Lusufi. I'm the MEC for Education in Gauteng. I'm with the HOD of the department, Mr. Edward Musu. I think we are led appropriately because Musue means a teacher. So if the head of the department is Musue, you can imagine that there is a teacher ahead of us. Thank you.
Okay. ourselves to Limpopo?
Ismail Khachep, MEC Limpopo province. Thanks. Oh, with me is the head of department, maybe Team J1. Thanks.
Thank you. Can you continue then to introduce ourselves as heads of department representing specific provinces, starting from Western Cape?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm Dau Matsidiso. I'm the Deputy Director General for Institutional Development and Coordination. Unfortunately, our head of department has attended another meeting. He won't be here with us. With me here, I'm having Ms. Tina Singh. She's the Chief Director, Examination and Assessment. And with us, we have Ms. Sopotela. She's the Project Manager for National School Nutrition Program. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable MECs and my colleagues. My name is Mahlasedi Mhlabane. I'm the Head of Education from Mpumalanga. Our MEC, Honorable Malaza, unfortunately cannot join the meeting this morning because he's attending the Executive Council back home. And with me is Mr. Jan Mkwanazi, the Chief Director responsible for EFT Curriculum. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Michelle Ishmael. I am the DDG for Curriculum and Assessment. Unfortunately, our MEC isn't here yet. She might be able to make it, given her schedule in the province. I'm the acting HOD for today. And with me, I have Mr. Issa, who is responsible for the Chief Director responsible for the National Nutrition Program, as well as our FFM. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. I'm Ray Joagati from Eastern Cape Department of Education. I'm the DDG responsible for institutional development and coordination. The MSC and the HOD are attending a special cabinet meeting today in the province. So the MSC has asked the Honorable Member, Mr. T. Nolomba, to represent him. So he missed a flight last night, so he's on his way now. He's the member of the Education Portfolio Committee in Eastern Cape. With me, Chair, is Mr. Mambo Nyemzandile. He's responsible for operations in the office of the MEC, Eastern Cape Department of Education.
No, Honorable Makopola did phone me in the evening to convey his sincere apologies and did explain the issue of the member of the Portfolio Committee that should be attending the meeting and did explain that she will be or he will be arriving late. At least he did that, Kitty. Thank you. GPE.
Good morning.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members, and Honourable MECs that are present. My name is Rufus Pollier, and today I'm the Acting Deputy Director General for the branch responsible for assessment, planning, and data management. I would be leading the DBE delegation. And I want to apologize on behalf of our Director General, who unfortunately couldn't make it to this meeting. And representing the DBE, I have with me Mr. Alan Subban, who is the Director responsible for LTSM and all related issues. And we also have with us Dr. Kumalo, who is the Chief Director responsible for the School Nutrition Program. Thank you.
Thank you. Our support staff, introduce yourselves.
Good morning. My name is Linda Mzikomle. I'm a coordinating advisor to the committee. Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Tabile Keje, coordinating advisor for social services.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Sukiswa Franz. I'm the committee assistant of the committee. Thank you.
Morning, Chairman, honorable members from Tavita Mutlala, TLO, the minister's office. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Liesl Karalison from the Department of Basic Education, Office of the DG.
Okay. We are all introducing ourselves. Nobody is not going to introduce themselves. Identify yourselves, please.
Good morning. Mayibonga Maqhina, journalist at the Independent Media.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, everybody. My name is Christopher, and I'm representing a company called 7it, and I'm just doing parliamentary monitoring. Thank you.
Morning, everyone. Philiswa Mwabe, representing PMG.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Asanda Madigida. I am from the Gauteng Department of Education in the Office of the MEC.
Committee Secretary, introduce yourself, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nolothando Skaka. I'm the Committee Secretary. Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable members, I've got apologies here. Honourable Dlamini is attending the Ad Hoc Committee on Northwest. Honourable Kaula is also attending the same meeting. Honourable Stock is on examination leave. Honourable Mpambo Spigwana is away on sick leave. Honourable Ngwenya has just tendered an apology. From the side of the MECs, the Eastern Cape has recorded their apology. The Free State has recorded an apology, as well as Mpumalanga and the Northern Cape. From the side of the heads of department, Eastern Cape, Free State, Northwest, and Western Cape, but they've appointed officials to actually lead their delegations. The Honourable Minister of Basic Education has extended an apology. He had prior engagement that she's attending to today, as well as the Deputy Minister. Those are the apologies that have been forwarded to us for the records. And the DG, yeah, there was an apology also for the DG for basic education. Let us maybe proceed in this fashion. We are going to have presentations and honorable people.
My apologies, Honorable Chair. I know you just passed on the apologies. I'm not sure if you may allow me, when we have finalized by 12 o'clock, to be able to leave because of other engagements.
Let us proceed in this fashion. The reason why, or one of the reasons why, we actually decided to converge in this fashion is that we have, as a select committee, visited a number of provinces. I think out of the 9 provinces that we have, we've been to 8. It's the Western Cape that you actually have not visited, which we'll be visiting this year. And during the process of our visit, we've picked up a number of problems that we did not find space to go back and verify if they have been attended to subsequent to our visit. So to short circuit the whole thing, we decided that maybe let us talk about those in this meeting. We still are sitting here with provinces that are not performing well in terms of matric results. Some of them are improving, some of them are a roller coaster. They improve this year, they decline the following year, they improve the next year, they decline the following year, for reasons that have been forwarded to the committee. But we're not going to harp on that. We need to create mechanisms and plans to move forward with a view to actually improving the performance that we normally get at the end of the year as this country. That's one issue. We still are sitting with provinces where you get that there was a number of schools cannot even reach at the level of 40% achievement at the level of matric results. And that raises a bit of a concern, because in those classrooms we've got teachers that are said to be qualified and paid for the job that they are doing, but the results that they produce causes a grave concern. And we don't know what is it that you do as provinces to ensure that something is done about people that are not working in the classroom, that are gambling with the future of our own children. What is it that you do to ensure that you mitigate that kind of situation where people are paid every month end a good salary by this government and they don't produce results? What steps do you take to ensure that we deal with that kind of situation? All right, the issue will be about the projections that you are making for yourselves, but also looking at the history of your performance. The other issue that you have picked up is the issue of procurement of LTFA. As we go around in the provinces, we find that, yes, procurement is made, but when you get to the spot, to the actual school, it's not in terms of the specification. Something else was delivered, not what was specified by the department. How does that come about? And what plans do you have to ensure that LTSM is delivered timelessly, it is in terms of the specification, it is also used for the purpose for which it is procured, and what monitoring mechanisms, evaluation mechanisms are there to ensure that we achieve maximally out of that procurement? Who gets the delivery, and how do you procure? Is it centralized? Is it localized? What are the challenges that you are facing in the process of the procurement of and delivery of LTFM? We've been to the schools also. You find that there is a problem of school nutrition. The kitchens are not there. Food in some of the schools is stored in places that are actually hazardous. The utensils that are used are not up to scratch. There are problems of the payment of service providers. Some of them actually talk to us and phone us and complain that they have not been paid, blah, blah, blah. So those are the issues that we are going to be deliberating on. And at the end of the day, we need to come out of this meeting happy about the fact that there are plans to turn the situation around in cases where there are problems. I am not going to belabor the point. I am going to get started with the work and get presentations from the various provinces. I would request that we start with the provinces whose MECs are here, because they are actually the people that were invited together with their staff, I agree. But those that are here, I'm going to give them first preference, because they left everything and they came here in honor of this invitation. I don't know whether to use alphabetical order, because I do not want to start with KZN. There is KZN, there is Gauteng. Gauteng comes first, then KZN, I think, then Free State, in that order.
Thanks, Chair. Before we start, I really felt that maybe let's engage with the proposal by the MEC for KZN, that if it goes beyond 12 o'clock, he wants to be recused. I think that was the point that was raising, and that's the point also want to raise as Gauteng, because on the basis of the original invite, we made bookings and arrangements on that way. I know your proposal now accommodates us, we'll start, but we just felt that in case 12 o'clock arrives and we have not finished, don't feel that we are undermining this meeting, Chair.
Maybe in order to save on time, let us allocate time for the presentations
so that at least by 12 o'clock we've been able to engage at least the first three provinces, and then we can release them when they're through. We are going to allocate time, 25 minutes, and then the 5 minutes will be for the MEC to make political input or prefacing remarks, after which we hand over to the head of department or the appointed head of delegation to take the processes forward. We are going to move in that fashion. So you've got 25 minutes for presentation, 5 minutes for the MEC to make prefacing remarks. Thank you.
Trying to locate it, but everyone has copies. We can take you through the copies if you don't mind. Come with us. They're still trying to get the electronic copy, but we can take you through the hard copy in the meantime, if you don't mind, Chair. Thank you so much, Chair, for the opportunity. We truly appreciate. You'll see from the time that you've allocated to us, it's going to be practically impossible to go through the 107 slides that we've given you, so we'll gallop where we feel that we need to gallop. But we'll spend more time on the metric results. The other three, we don't have long things to say, so we'll spend more time on the metric results and take you through all the relevant pages. So I'm taking you right away to slide number 5.
You don't have to go slide by slide.
Yes.
Talk in such a manner that you give us an idea of what
was. Definitely. Oh, thanks for that. Thank you. The key part that he wants to bring to our attention is that the 2017 grade 12 learners represent the 10th cohort of learners who benefited from the curriculum statements that we've just changed. This is very important. It's a very important point, because it assists us to understand the context and the caliber of learners that we had within the schooling environment. This was influenced by many policy changes. There were a lot of policy amendments. Key, obviously, was the progression policy in grade 10 and 11. Progression basically meant that learners that failed in a manner that is not bad, they were allowed to proceed to the next grade. And this is a very important aspect of ensuring that we don't have a high school dropout of learners, especially at grade 10 and grade 11. So that when that policy statement came in, we managed to accommodate that policy statement. And also, there was a policy amendment that related to multiple examination opportunities, so that learners can choose, if they've got 6 subjects, they can choose whether to write 6 or to write 4 or to write 5. So that's the policy change that we had, and we felt that is very, very important. I'm emphasizing the next point of compulsory offering of mathematics and accounting, because that's very, very key. You'll see from the presentation later on that if we didn't make this kind of intervention, the subject called accounting was about to be was about to vanish in our eyes in Gauteng. I'm not sure in other provinces. when we take you through the actual matric results and those learners that have enrolled for various subjects, you will see that accounting is starting to take a dip. We know that the carrier anyway in the next a few years with the fourth industrial revolution, where computers will be dealing with the numbers, will need fewer accountants, but it does not mean that carrier must go. So we needed a strategic intervention to deal with the dropping of the numbers of accounting learners that were dropping at a very, very disturbing rate. So we'll give you those particular figures. Okay, is it ready? Okay, can you come in there? We felt that we need to keep this light, Chair, because many people accuse us to say our education system is bad, it allows learners to pass with 30%. Sometimes it's very important to wrap this particular point that if you pass all your subjects with 30% in this country, you fail. This notion that 30% is a pass in our country is a very, very wrong notion. And this slide, we try to demonstrate that for you to get a bachelor pass, you're expected to pass almost four of your subjects above 50%, and the remaining subject, yes, can be around 30 or 40%. But it's very, very important that at all times we emphasize this point, that there's no such thing as a 30% pass in our country. But besides, universities also have their own entry examinations. So you can't just come there with 30% and be expected to be a doctor or an engineer. But this point is very important. This slide just gives you an idea what it takes to run an examination. It's a massive, massive cycle. I'm not sure if it's up there. I can't see it in other areas. It gives an idea how long it takes to run an examination. So it's not a small, it's a huge task to run an examination in our province. And that's the reason that we felt that we need to give you that examination cycle so that you understand where we are. This is the magnitude of our enrollment in Gauteng compared to other provinces. Almost 108,000 learners set for this examination. Of the part-time learners that stood that came to the exams were 42,000, and with almost 203 question papers. So we don't want to bore with that thing. I think we are number two after KZN in terms of the number of learners that enrolled for the examination and also the number that have written. So you can see how Gauteng, it becomes an agile elephant. We have the numbers, but we can also be amongst those that are running at the same time. And that is why we are using that agile elephant scenario, just to demonstrate that we are carrying huge numbers of learners that wants to, I was arguing that if you combine four other provinces, you'll arrive at the same pass rate that we have at Gauteng alone, if you combine four. We'll demonstrate those figures later on. This is how we have fared in the last 3 years, in the last 5 years, sorry. You will see that our numbers are increasing. It's only in the last year only that our numbers nearly remained the same, both in 2015 and 2016. But you can see that we are not holding back learners. Every learner that qualifies to write matric in Gauteng, we allow that learner to write matric, because we really believe matric is a very important certificate. So you must give every child an opportunity to write. You must not say, I want my matric results to look beautiful in the world, and therefore you can't go, you go. No, no, no. Anyone that qualifies to write, and that's what I've said to the HOD, anyone that qualifies to write must go and write. Let's deal with the support system of winter schools, Saturday schools, and other things. But there must be no learner that is denied the right to write examination on the basis that they will make our results not to look beautiful. I'm not going to take you through the standardization process. I think National Department will take you through that process. But what's very, very important, and also this is the issue of quality. You will see, compared to last year, there were only four subjects, I think, that were adjusted. No. In 2015, were 30 subjects that were adjusted upwards. That is, Umalus added marks for them to pass. And in 2016, it went down to 28. And then in 2017, it was 16. You can see that
more and more, Umalus is taking raw marks, which simply means that majority of our learners can meet the standards that is required. They don't need an external force to give them support for them to understand what has happened, for them to pass. So this is a very, very important slide because it has been in the news for quite some time, where other people believe that there must be transparency in terms of the modernization, moderation of the exams. Let me give you our numbers then as Gauteng per district. These are our numbers there. These are our examination centers per every district. This is the number of candidates that were registered per every district. This is a comparison over years. As I said, I took you through. You could see our numbers are still increasing. We are one of the few provinces that have almost above 100,000 learners writing matrix. And that's the debate that we'll take with you and the higher education institutions, that you can't continue to have more learners registering for matrix, but higher education institutions are not expanding to accommodate them. That's a very important aspect, because if we have to reach the targets that are there in the NDP, higher education institutions need to expand. You will see from our results, if we have 34,000 learners in Gauteng alone passing matric with bachelor passes, but if you combine your first year enrollment in all universities, it's not even more than 34,000. But in Gauteng, we've got 34,000 learners alone that have passed matric. Where are those learners going? So we are closing them out of higher institution and access to higher institution, and that's a debate that we really believe that we need to take with the higher education institutions, that our learners must be given an opportunity to be enrolled in these institutions. This is the slide that I raised to you earlier on. Check in 2013 how many learners enrolled for accounting. There were almost 32,500. In 2017, half of them are now taking accounting. So in 2013, we got 32,000 learners writing for accounting. In 2017, 18,000 are taking accounting as a subject. So you can see that unless we intervene, the future of this subject, and we know the reasons, and that's the reason why there was policy amendments. The reason is mainly that when you link accounting to pure maths, learners then dump accounting. But when we introduce math literacy, learners take accounting and math literacy. And the policy change, we really believe it will assist us then to resuscitate the interest in accounting, because we've now dropped a pure math as a prerequisite for learners to take accounting. Because if we didn't intervene, you could see the numbers were dropping drastically. And this was going to create a serious, serious problem with this particular career. We are also excited in Gauteng. If you take the number of learners that are taking math, in 2016 we're at 39,000, and in 2017 we're at 63,000. So the interest to push for quality is indeed yielding the results that we need in Gauteng, so that these gateway subjects must be resourced, supported, and have qualified educators so that our children can be part of the broad economy. Remember, our idea in Gauteng is to ensure that our children compete with the best in the world. That even if they leave with a matric certificate, they can be enrolled in higher education institutions in other countries. If you take that debate that I've given you, that not all opportunities are available in our province. So we want to take you to the actual results so that you understand where we are as Gauteng. So basically, with 108,000 that enrolled, 97 went to write exams and 82,000 passed. So out of 10 learners, we're quite proud that at least almost 9 of those particular learners passed matric in Gauteng. And to us, it's a major, major achievement if you take the things that we've introduced in Gauteng. We've introduced technology, we are recruiting new educators, we are digitalizing our materials and other things. So for you to change the engine of the aeroplane when the aeroplane is flying and still maintain the results, to us, we really believe it's something that have assisted us to ensure that we remain competitive at all times. How is the performance? You'll see the performance over years, that we are a stable a department. You raised the zigzag chair when you opened. But you can see with us, in the last 3 years, we've stabilized. We're at 8.2 in 2015. We went to 8.5 in 2016. We went to 8.5 again in 2017. So we've been stabilizing and maturing as an institution, if you check how we've done. But what excites us as a department is that we've forever remained above the GBE performance in terms of average. We've been above that particular average because that is very important. And you can also see that in terms of the quality of passes, the number of learners, I'll take you through a slide that is coming later on to say, if you compare township education and compare low-fee schools with fee-paying schools, we are closing that gap at a very faster pace. And that excites us, which simply means that no matter whether we are poor or rich, in Gauteng you stand a better chance to get a bachelor pass. And to us, the very important aspect, because you can't break the shackles of poverty if your quality of education does not penetrate the poor. The rich have alternatives, the poor don't. So we'll give you a clear comparison to say, if you go to a rich school and go to a poor school, what are the possible outcomes? And the outcomes are almost the same. And that's what excites us as a department, because that is very, very key, and it confirms that the poor are not going to be ignored on the basis that they're in that particular area. This is a slide that I was telling you, Chair. Check the number of bachelor passes in 2015. We had almost 38,000 bachelor passes alone in Gauteng. So if you add bachelor passes of Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng North, or sorry, it's not Gauteng North, it's Limpopo. Limpopo and Northern Cape. Combined, they equal the single number of Gauteng. So you can see that we continue to produce the highest number of bachelor passes, followed by KZN, of course, and Mahadebe, Western Cape, has an ambition to follow us. So that's how the number of bachelor passes that we've registered as a province. Even in 2017, you can see 35,000 learners passed their matric with bachelor passes in Gauteng. To us, very, very important because it means we are opening opportunities to majority of our learners. And that's the part that one. What excites us more, you'll see, in terms of females, the females are performing far above the males. And this is a clear signal of breaking the shackles of poverty. Because you know, say I'm a daughter, I need my petty mother to learn to cook and cook. But my mama, no my essence, this is really not a wonder. So therefore, our investment in female learners is yielding the necessary dividends that we need, so that our females can participate in the economy as equal partners, and this assists us. So this is the number of the performance that we have that I spoke about. Quintile 1, quintile 2, quintile 3, those are your township and rural schools, and check their performances. So when you go to bachelor passes, they are there among the rich. And this is a very important intervention as government to say it is not where you are that must determine whether you pass matric or you don't pass matric. And you can see in Gauteng, it's because we've invested huge, especially in technology, in the township. And we'll give you the number of matric classes, schools that are performing. We've got almost 873 schools that are performing. If you take this slide, you'll see in 2014, we only had one school that performed less than 20%. And we had four schools in 2015 that performed less than 20%. But in 2016 and 2017, there's no single school in Gauteng that is performing less than 20%. And if you go to 40% and less, we've reduced that number from 2014. There were 14 schools that were performing less than 40%. We've reduced those to 4. So you can see that the elimination of poor performance is taking shape in Gauteng. Where do you find majority of our schools? Majority of our schools are between 80% and 100%. So out of almost 879 schools, 641 are performing between 80% and 100%. So, and of that 641, you'll see the spread. It's schools that are in the townships that are doing very, very well. And this excites us because that's how you break poverty. That's how you break inequality. That's how you break homelessness, where people don't rely on social grants, but rely on the quality of education to shape their future and sharpen them so that they can get opportunities. So that is why we jealously guard when higher education does not open up. Because with free education, we have an opportunity to have majority of our learners accessing these institutions of higher learning. So this is where you will see where majority of township schools are. If you see that slide, of all the schools that are performing less than 30%, all of them are independent schools. So they're not public schools. These are people that are paying thousands and thousands of rent to go to independent schools only to find that they are failing. So in Gauteng, there's no single public school that is performing less than 40%. So our schools are performing above 40%, but even those that are performing less than 60%, there are only 5 out of almost 800 schools. So only 5 are performing less than 60%. So majority of our schools are 60 and above. But the highest concentration of good schools that are performing well are between 80% and 100%. That's what we need to maintain. The problem is your former Model C schools are the ones that are taking up. So you've got two extremes in Gauteng. Your township schools are doing very well, and your rich schools are also doing very well. It's the center. You know, the schools that were opened as former Model C schools 10 years, 15 years ago. They are the ones that are dragging our results down. So our investment and energy now, it is in these former Model C schools. You know, you see a school that was predominantly white, now it's predominantly black. That's where we are struggling in Gauteng, and that's the area that we want to improve. But if you check quintile 1 to quintile 3, check how many schools that are in those townships and rural schools that are doing very well. And this excites us. We really believe it's something that gave us quality education. If you check that particular spread, you can see that quality education is spread across all the areas. This is the slide that I spoke about the poor, that is fee-paying schools and non-fee-paying schools. If you compare the blue and the gray, you can't see that. If you compare that blue and gray, they are almost the same. So even if you are in a poor area, you can give us the results that we need. So that gap between the poor and the rich, we are closing it. We really believe that in the next 10 or so, that curve will look completely different. Actually, it will be no fee-paying schools that will be in a position to perform better. The reason why we are emphasizing this particular point is that people believe if there is free education, it means quality goes down. We are demonstrating that even if parents don't pay school fees, quality remains high. Because parents are choosing schools on the basis that this learner is wearing this beautiful uniform that looks like drum majors, and therefore it means this school is good. You know, we are demonstrating that even those schools that you don't even pay a single cent and you don't have that beautiful uniform, the outcome is the same. Because this will allow us to spread so that there's no concentration of learners in one school and other schools are empty. And we really believe this is a very important aspect. This slide also gives you where we've got Saturday schools and winter schools and where you don't have Saturday and winter schools. Where we are investing in winter schools, the learners in those particular schools achieve more than those that don't have Saturday and winter schools. So our investment in Saturday and winter schools or enrichment programs yields dividends. So it's not a waste of resources in those particular institutions. These are the schools as well where we've introduced IT. You can see they started very slow. Since the introduction of our ICT, these particular schools are performing very well as well. Even though the margins are not that huge, but there is a direction and shape that they are taking, confirming that the investment in our ICT was not a wasteful expenditure. So that's what we felt that we need to demonstrate to you. We have also picked up technical high schools. because technical high schools are very important in terms of our three-stream curriculum. That these particular schools must be resourced, they must attract the best educator, but they must give us results. And we can see, averagely, we are performing above 80% in these particular schools. And to us, this is a very important intervention and value for money. We are also, we've got schools that we call ROS. These are schools that, for example, we've merged a township school with a town school, with an urban school, and made them to be one school, have one SGB. So we also monitor their performance, that when we merge them, what is it that has changed? And you can see the results are positive. Because there are township schools that if you can't merge them with an urban school, the township school will remain poor forever. They don't have a swimming pool, they don't have a cricket field, but this urban school, they've got a swimming pool, a cricket field, they've got a laboratory. So we have merged these two schools, they're run by one SGB, and those are the names of schools that we have merged, and we are monitoring their performance as well. And it shows that the good school can pull the poor school, and they can perform at the same par. And we've given you the results of those particular schools. Chair, on the overall performance of the district, I don't want to bore you. It's only one, out of the 15 districts, it's only one district that is performing less than 80%. All our districts are above 80%. So we're quite excited with the district performance and that the district that didn't perform well, Chair, I hope you'll agree with me, the director of that particular district was immediately removed. Because if you don't do this, these things continue. So this is how we've performed per district, Chair. I don't want to take you through that aspect because I think we've covered all the key issues concerning metric performance and the things that you have. We want just to finally declare to you, of the 10 top districts in the country, 7 come from Gauteng, of the top 10. So you can see that our district performance is indeed encouraging. So that's the reason why we don't want things to move otherwise. Chair, this slide just demonstrates the number of distinctions where they are coming from. And these distinctions are spread across. So you have a learner in Soweto who will get 300 out of 300 in mathematics or in physical science. So our distinctions are not influenced by those that have money to pay for tutors. Our distinctions can be got. You can get a distinction just from attending from 8 o'clock to 3 o'clock in our school. So that particular slide gives you that idea of where we are with those things. And we are also ranking our district so that you can understand all the things that you have done there. So, Chair, in terms of quality baskets that you are utilizing, you can see that our district are performing very, very well, Chair. And we came in a position to give you that information. Chair, I want to go to the other issues that you've requested us to cover in this presentation. I think the full presentation is in your hands. You can go through your own time and see the areas that we're doing well and areas that need improvement. But the one that I really feel that we can't leave you, Chair, is that in Gauteng, we are the only province that offer all languages, African languages. All languages, at least. In Gauteng, with all languages, and there's no single learner that failed an African language in Gauteng. To us, this is very important. Because our languages also need to, they deserve that attention and that support. And we can see from the performance, we are scoring above 90 in terms of all African languages in our school. So we really felt that we need to bring that information to our attention. Chair, let's move to LTSM. With LTSM, we're not going to take long because our LTSM is centralized. We're working with the National Treasury in terms of LTSM, but we've got two categories of LTSM as well. There's the one that we give to our schools that are part of Section 21, schools that have Section 21 function, and the majority of our schools is 1,877 of 2,000 schools. They buy LTSM on their own, which simply means that we just transfer money to them and they go, and they really believe, we are doing comparisons. We believe that it promotes local economy, it empowers SGBs to be responsible in terms of financial management. It also builds SMMEs because these schools can buy from local business people. So only 202 schools we are responsible for buying on their behalf, purely because either there were squabbles in the SGB, they can't manage their finances, or they didn't give us audited financial statements. Because if you don't give us your audited financial statements, we remove the powers because we need a returning investment, and so that we can understand whether indeed you are dealing with this particular. So you can see that majority of our schools are just top-ups now. Majority of our schools have all these particular textbooks. They just have to top up every year, and that's the reason why we are giving those particular allocations. But there are strict compliance measures that you put in place to ensure that there's no abuse of resources. We also have one single institution that buys on behalf of those 200 that is centralized. So they just place orders online, and that those particular orders online. We've got strict deadlines. We visit the workshops of all our schools to check whether they've bought textbook. If by end of November, before the school closed for the year, we've got that particular report, and the HOD is mandated to do the reporting and the accountability if all those things have not been done. So this is how the model works in updating the catalog, printing, distribution, and all the aspects that we need to deal with this particular. So we don't have any problem, Chair. We can declare with you. We don't experience problem in terms of LTSM central procurement. As I say, we participate in that central procurement. We don't have problems of wrong titles on all other things. So when we start the year, we really start there. The only challenge in Gauteng is that what we have ordered in December previous year and the number of learners in January is two different things. Because in January, we've got this huge number of learners that comes to Gauteng. So the first 3 months before our new financial year, you will indeed encounter learners sharing textbook or something of that nature, because we didn't budget for them and they've already arrived. And majority of these learners are undocumented learners. So you can't chase them and say, you are not allowed to be in class. So we absorb them. We've got what you call the 10-day statistics. So the first 10 days in schools, we then count how many learners have come and then make new orders. So during that period, you'll find learners that don't have textbook, because the previous year we've accounted for everyone. It's new learners that have registered in January. But because of history, we sometimes top up these numbers because we know how many people are coming. What are the advantages of decentralized procurement? We've given you that thing. We really believe that the advantages on both sides, both centralized and decentralized, and that's the reason why you're allowing both systems to function in our schools, where schools can buy on their own and we can buy also on behalf of other schools, and we can also participate in the national procurement processes. So this is how the timeline that we do every year to manage the procurement. We give each and every school a budget around April, May, so that they know how much they have. So you don't buy outside what you have. And then we compile their needs by February, March, and then we distribute the catalogs of the books that they need to buy from by April. And in April, May, we do the verification, and they can also place their requisition during May. And they place orders in June, and then they must receive deliveries between August and October, and we do mop-up in November, and we retrieve textbook from learners in November, and January we do top-up for those that arrive late. So there is a clear plan on how we manage our LTSM and who's responsible for managing what in terms of those processes. The way forward on LTSMs, schools opting for central procurement, schools will fill a binding agreement with the CFO if they feel that they can do things on their own. The CFO has a service level agreement that ticks whether these people have an accountant, whether these people have capacity, they've gone to training, financial training as SGB, whether they don't have history of mismanagement of money. So if they opt out, the CFO must satisfy himself or herself whether these people are capable to do so. And if they come in, they must also have that agreement. So whether you are in and out, you must have a binding agreement with the department. So that if you breach that agreement, we can recall our powers immediately to you. Chair, let me gallop through the school nutrition program. We have a centralized one, Chair. We used to have almost 900 service providers that were... These are the people that go and tender. Of the 900, all of them will go and buy from four service providers. So 900 come and tender, win tenders, but all of them are buying from four big service providers. So we then tweaked it around to say, of the 900, go and consolidate yourself and be cooperatives, big company, and we broadened from the four and say, we need almost 20 new service providers. And since we've done that, Chair, we've seen food is arriving on time, because when you've got four service providers that are provided, they monopolize the industry. So if they've got lots of cabbage available in the market, all our children are eating cabbage at the same time. So we changed that, and since then, we are paying service providers on time, the quality has improved, and all other things. Obviously, the other people will resist this kind of things because they say it gives big players a chance. But we can't risk the future of our children. Our children must get a home meal every day. Other economic policy imperatives, yes, they're important, but they must not be at the expense of learners not having food. Because when you have so many people, if you miss paying them today, tomorrow they stop servicing because they say, you didn't pay us. So when you've got big players, at least they can continue to serve even when you have not paid them on time. But since this Chair, we are paying majority of our service providers, actually within 15 days, because they are there in the database, we know them, and came in a position to deal with all the matters that we have. The only thing that we have is a challenge with the menu, Chair. We've raised it with the National Department. We are hopeful that they will assist us. The problem is that when we serve soya, majority of learners don't eat. And that plays a very key importance in the menu. The day we serve soya, the returns are huge, where learners don't eat. And other people try creative methods, but reality, soya is not something that our children are quite excited with. And also on Fridays, unfortunately, majority of learners don't prefer to eat on Fridays. Then I ask them, why? So no, MEC, just imagine I'm dating this woman, I'm on the school nutrition queue on Friday, and I want her to go with me to a movie on Saturday. She's not going to agree with me. So there are other social pressures as well, that learners believe that they can't queue on Friday purely because they want to go to movies on Saturday. So if you are queuing there, it means you are not in a position to take a lady to the movies. So, Chair, that's basically that, I think, on the base of the menu and the issues that we've raised earlier on. We are indeed inundated by people that want to bring their products, you know, your energy adding, your supplementary things that people believe must be part of the menu. We normally refer those people to the National Department. But on the basis of learners being fed, Chair, we feed 1.3 million children every day in Gauteng, 1.3. And we really believe that is a very important task and mandate of poverty alleviation that we need to provide on behalf of the country. So I might have gone beyond my time, Chair, but I felt that I needed to emphasize those particular points. Thanks for your time. Truly appreciate your attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, MEC. We really do appreciate your input. And I want to believe that we each have got issues that are common as provinces, and you are learning something, one or two things from the other provinces as well, which is a good. Who follows? KZN? Okay.
No, thank you so much, Chair.
Let me just explain that we'll take, we've taken Gauteng, it's KZN, and then it will be Limpopo. After those three provinces, we shall then ask the questions. And then you can release them. And then, welcome MEC for Eastern Cape. No, okay. It's okay. No, I thought you said you'd leave at 12. No, I didn't understand. Maybe I'm speaking softly.
Madam Chair, I said I didn't receive the invitation at my office. The first way I heard about this meeting was yesterday when I was phoned, my office was phoned to ask if we would be here. So we've been able to make a plan to be here between 10 and 12, and I was told that we would be in the slot between 10 and 12, but we're already at 11:15. So if you're going to take two other provinces before us, then I won't be able to stay for our presentation, but my officials are here if you'd prefer that.
Let me establish why is it that of all the provinces, Western Cape got the invite here just yesterday. Secretary, can you answer to that one? Before I take a decision in this regard.
The invitations were sent to all the provinces, Chair. But I was only informed yesterday that the office of the MEC from the office of the minister from the Western Cape didn't receive the invitation. Only the HOD's office received.
Basically, the information was relayed to the province, and it was sitting with the office of the HOD. In that case, MPC, I appreciate the fact that you made an effort to come. If you feel that you're under pressure to leave, you can then leave your head of department to continue, but we really do appreciate that you did come. Thank you. We can then continue, KZN.
No, thank you so much, Honorable Chair, and again, greetings to you, Honorable Members and the colleagues, and all of the officials that are here. I'm not going to follow the example of Gauteng. You know, of taking a bit longer. I don't think it was a good example in terms of time.
Insofar as detail,
yeah.
Was
good. Yes, yes.
Okay.
But also, I'm going to allow our team to end their salaries, you know, so that they don't feel bad that I'm taking their money. So they must work for their money. Just few comments before I allow them, Chair, is to say that we come from, you know, in KZN, it's a bit of a different kind of a setup than Gauteng or any other province. Because we currently have a total of 6,053 schools, which, you know, that on its own shows the kind of administration that we are handling. As well as the total number of learners that we are currently having, you know, of about 2.8 million learners. But in terms of the metric in 20 metric result and the performance of our province, we between 2014 and 2015 we had experienced a very high drop because we lost about 16.7%. We then stood at 60% in terms of pass percentage. It then needed us to really do something drastic to change those results. We're able to then increase in 2016 and 2017. Currently, we're standing at 72.8, which we believe we're on the right track. We have then turned, you know, we're going up. To ensure that the majority of our learners are able to perform at a, you know, at a higher level, as well as the number of schools that were not performing. We had the number of schools that were performing at a 0% percentage, which we are now turning around. In 2016 we had about 7, now we've got in 2017 we're only about 3, which is also for us it's a serious concern. Because of the transformation of the schooling system, you find that some of our schools will have a total number of learners in a metric level. You find that they are 3, you know, learners because of the transformation of the schooling system, where you find that there are certain schools that are non-viable, which we ought to close because they are farm schools, some of the very deep rural with very few households. So those are some of the factors, you know, even the terrain and so forth. We believe that we've turned the corner. We are on the right track. As you see in the presentation itself, that our performance in terms of the metric results are coming now. As the MEC for Gauteng was saying, that despite that we have not been performing very well over the years, but in terms of the passes that we've bachelor passes that we have registered, you know, in 2017 we had about 35,000 of our learners getting the bachelors. We in total in 2017 we had a total of 153,000 learners that had sat for the examination. So you'll see the kind of administration that we are really handling and dealing with in this regard. We're currently not participating in terms of the procurement of the LTSM, not participating in the central procurement for the national treasury. Because of the nature of the issues that I've raised, the nature of the province that we're currently having, but of course we've got schools that are currently procuring, of course, who are currently the Section 21C function schools, which they are able to procure for themselves, but which about 2,000 and odd schools and 3,000 and odd schools would have then be participating at the level of the provincial supply chain process. In terms of the school nutrition, we are currently feeding on a daily basis about 2.3 million learners daily. As I've mentioned earlier, that the total number of our learners is about 2.8 million that we are having in our system. We are not using the central kind of system because we've got about 1,800 SMMEs who are actually supplying food to our schools, which we have been doing very well, even in terms of the turnaround time for their payment. Of course, also we're having food handlers that are local that are actually then assisting in terms of handling. We have in this year now, you know, gone out to ensure that we get the appropriate utensils and the other material that is required to ensure that the handling of food, you know, to our learners is appropriate, which we believe that is going to go a long way. As I've mentioned that we've got 6,000 and odd of the schools. We not all of them have got appropriate infrastructure for handling, you know, in terms of kitchens and all of that. But we are dealing with that issue as we speak right now. We believe that you know, because in the procurement in the process that we are saying that is not a central, it's not just few service providers, because we believe that this program, it's a program that was designed to ensure that our learners are able to benefit, but also must have an economic benefit to the general public. You know, that's why we've got about 1,800 of the suppliers that are currently assisting us, together with about 263 cooperatives that are also assisting us in this regard. Can I allow the HOD, Dr. Nzama, within the team, Dr. Mtembu, Dr. Mtembu will present to us the issues relating to the metric results, and then Dr. Nzama later will then deal with the two, the LTSM as well as the NSNP.
As I said earlier, only don't go slide by slide. You just give us the critical issues and summarize to the best that you can. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I greet you and greet the Honorable MECs, and also thank you for actually doing the greetings for us. I'm not going to go beyond that. But we want to actually say that in KwaZulu-Natal, we had an improvement plan for 2017, which was talking to what we wanted to achieve. And these were the objectives or the targets of the 2017 as they are reflected there. Now, those targets are actually saying this is what we wanted to achieve, especially to increase the pass percentage by 10% and then into provinces. Chairperson, I remember very well you came to our province in 2015 when we had actually made up a total decline of 16 plus percent. And we then in 2016 improved the results, and 2017 also improved the results. As a result, we had all these, districts improving. No district declined at that time. But this just shows how the extent of improvement with the Lembe district with the highest improvement. And you spoke about consequence management here. Part of these results are, part of this is a result of consequence management to say where there is no delivery, a decision should be taken. An example is Ilembe district, where we're 12% with the new director who was put in there. And we also increased the number of 100% schools by 28%. We also increased the bachelors by 4.2%. We tried to eliminate the number of 0% schools. All those 2016 0% schools were done away with. But unfortunately for us, three emerged, the new ones. And that is something that we took as a challenge. And also, if you look at the gateway subjects, we are saying all the gateway subjects, except for languages, should be 60% and above. Now, if you look at the 10 gateway subjects, you can see that we did achieve that as a province, except for in mathematics. And also, we worried about the decline in agricultural sciences and business studies. Those are the two subjects where we saw a decline in the gateway subjects. But those declines were not very bad in the sense that the pass percentages were not low. In terms of languages, we are saying we want 90% and above. And this is what we had. We have reduced the negative impact of home languages, especially because if you fail a home language, then the consequences are clear. English home language, where you see yellow, that is where we didn't get the 90% in languages. So you see that. And then isiZulu home language, we were able to achieve what we wanted to achieve. Afrikaans home language, we achieved it. And then isiXhosa home language, we also achieved. We did have the yellows, that is below 90% in Afrikaans. Not in, in the first edition, we did not get that. We did well in isiZulu. In other words, in all languages, we did well, but there's Afrikaans and English home language. For the mere fact that the examiner, when setting the paper, assumes that all these learners are English language home speakers, only to find that some of them at home, they speak another language at school, they learn this. So the amount of exposure to the language, I think, in all provinces is a problem. The art subjects, we're also saying that in these subjects, we don't need anything less than 90%. We're able to get that in all the art subjects and the dance studies. This is where we are. But in design, Umlazi only got 87%, and we are trying to deal with that in terms of. In fact, we have actually taken all the small subjects, grouped them, and we have special interventions for them. That is dramatic arts, music, visual arts, technology subjects. We have a problem with computer applications technology and information technology. But if you look at district by district, subject by subject, civil technology, where is yellow, it's where we did not get the 90% that we need. Then it means that the elephant in the room is computer applications technology, where most of the districts are not getting up to 90% that we need. And then electrical technology, information technology, mechanical technology, engineering, graphics, and design. And in terms of the economic management subjects, we have all these subjects. Accounting is where we're not getting what we want because although they are 60% and above in the province, but in some of the districts which are yellow there, it's not 60% and above. And business studies also. Economics, we're able to get above 60% in all districts. And then maritime economics also here, because it's a small subject, we want 90 and above. That's why we're putting yellow to say we're not yet there. Agricultural sciences, we got more than 50%, 60% in all, and but in agricultural technology then we wanted 90%, which we did not get, and it's part of the program. mathematical sciences, I think we are not bad, but mathematics, our improvement is very slow. We are now at 41%. We're coming from 18% in 2010 or 2009. Now we're at 41 because of the interventions. Math literacy, this is what you see, only one district is below 60. Mathematics, only two districts are above 60, but all others then are below. And then physical sciences and life sciences, I think that's where we did very well. In terms of social sciences, all of them are above 60, which is what we need. Geography, history in all districts, religion studies, life orientation. And then in terms of services, consumer studies, tourism, and hospitality studies. Hospitality studies, I think it has also been declared by National as a declining subject. We have two districts which are below 60, which are below 90, and we want to push them to 90 as well. Consumer studies, tourism, and what we have done we have registered 147 plus learners for 2018, and what we are doing right now, during the Easter holidays, we had classes, the attention was gateway subjects that are presented. And as we're speaking now, as we're talking, we are also running winter programs in three categories. Category 1 are the camps, category 2 are the clustered, category 3 are the standalones. They are all over the province, and the subjects that are being dealt with are the ones that are presented. And then we have the special attention schools. These are the schools where we are showing the percentage between 0 and 29 in gateway subjects, which means that we know that in accounting, Amajuba has six schools which need attention, and so on and so on and so on. And we're also having those which are 0% in gateway schools, subjects. For instance, in accounting, there are 32 schools with 0% there. And what we're trying to do now in terms of teacher development, we have content and methodology workshops. There were times when content workshops were very popular in the country. Now, our workshops are both content and methodology to say we're teaching you the what and the how. That's what we have done in that area. And then the 0 to 29% schools, what we have done with those schools, in February, with all the principals and their SMTs were called for capacitation in curriculum management and curriculum leadership. We have done that, and we have also visited all of them. We did have some findings. In terms of reading, in terms of LTSM and so on, and those findings are being dealt with. And we must agree with Gauteng that the issue of LTSM beginning of the year becomes a problem, especially in KZN. If you look at Ilembe district and Mapumulo and all those areas, there's an exodus to the Balito corridor where there's a lot of economic activity emerging, and most of the families are moving towards that corridor. You find that a school did order LTSM, but you find that now, beginning of the year, now that school has more than learners, just because of those push and pull factors which are related to the survival of the population. And then the performance of the progress learners, we have ranked all the districts in terms of how the progress learners performed. Amajuba was number one, number two is Mkhanyakude, in terms of the progress learners, which means that if you look at the past percentage of the percentage achieved of the progress learners, those who wrote all the subjects, you can see that we were able to save many learners from dropping out of the education system. The past types in the special schools, we also did well. We did get bachelor's there, the diplomas, higher certificates, NSC, and we're saying we're doing a lot to ensure that the inclusive nature of our dispensation is a reality in the special schools. The performance by quintiles also, we're getting quintile 1s and quintile 2s and quintile 3s, getting the exact 100% past percentages, which means that we are shifting from the idea or from a paradigm which says that if you are in a quintile, this quintile, you cannot achieve this. This is what we have done. And also, in terms of the academic improvement plan, we have an academic improvement plan in KZN which has 10 pillars. We have taken the pillars from the 2017 one, but we have changed some. We have changed the one which talks about basic school functionality. We say we have replaced it with whole school functionality.
which means that we are not going to look at the basics of functionality. We are looking at everything. We want the school to be totally functional. WebCHE is the one on monitoring. We're talking about high impact monitoring so that we become aggressive in terms of monitoring. We've changed the one of stakeholder involvement to the one which says stakeholder capacitation and involvement, so that they must first know what we are doing and then begin to involve them. In terms of challenges, as I conclude, we are worried about the emergence of new unknown 0% schools, the three ones, and we have a program for that which started in January with the capacitation of those principals and SMTs. We also worried about the districts below 60% in accounting, mathematics, physical sciences, mathematical literacy, business studies, economics, and hospitality studies. These are the subjects where we are saying we need more than 60%, taking it from 2017, and they are part of our program. And hospitality studies, we are following on the national directives that we need to do something about it, because it is a declining subject, although it did not decline in many districts in our province. The schools obtaining below 30%, and a relevant section is being applied so that those principals are dealt with in terms of that particular section of the legislation. The districts obtaining less than 90% in languages, design, computer applications, technology, information technology, also, that is another challenge that we have, and we have programs to deal with this in terms of monitoring and in terms of that. Also, we are looking in these subjects, gateway subjects, we are looking at curriculum coverage, but we know that in the new dispensation, we have moved away from calendar closure to outcomes closure. Therefore, our curriculum coverage is not the one that says, how far have you gone?
Okay.
You must have proof.
Please do summarize.
Yes. And then the issue of districts, the decline in agricultural sciences, that is a challenge in business studies, and also the gradual decline of one main district there, which used to be number one from 2008, and then 2015, up to 2015, then in 2016 it became number three, then in 2017 it became number five. We are sitting in that district, we are intervening, we are ensuring that we put that district back to where it was. I thank you.
Can I use my book? Okay, thank you. Without any waste of time, Honorable MCs, Honorable members, colleagues, already MEC, Honorable MEC Lugan has made a full presentation and has given us a summary, and it's in line with what Honorable Lesup Panyas has presented. Because we are not different from other provinces when it comes to LTSM as well as NSNP. But I must give just a summary in regards to centralized procurement system that we do, as MEC indicated, that we have over 6,000 schools. But out of those schools, 3,119 schools are without function C, and about 2,730 schools are holding the status of being a section of function C. So they do their own procurement. Their procurement is school-based. They're able to manage everything on their own, but we're able to monitor that very closely by checking as to whether they have been able to buy books, to purchase books, stationery, and so on. But and they are also allowed to participate in central procurement. And those that are in central procurement, over 3,000 schools benefit in terms of getting discounts and many other things. Currently, we are running this, and we make sure that by August, delivery takes place to those that have procured centrally, especially the over 3,000 schools. But last year, we saw a shift from those that are supposed to be procuring at the level of schools. They moved into the central procurement of the department because they want to benefit in terms of discounts, because we do negotiate discounts in both stationery and textbooks. So the delivery took place, normally takes place in August. By the end of November, we have 100% delivery to all schools. That's the policy. So that by come January, schools are in possession of books. We do have a problem or a challenge of those learners who come to our schools in January, who are mainly put by Honorable Panyazwa, who are undocumented, some are documented, but they don't sort of follow admission policies in the province. They just come there in January to register, and they pose a challenge because at the time when they come, you will find that they were not provided for in the procurement of both textbooks of LTSM. But we do cater for that. Also, new schools are catered early in the year so that in August they are on board. When we do procurement, they are not left out. It does have an advantage, especially the central procurement system does have an advantage in the sense that while you are able to monitor the delivery, and you are also able to report and to check if all schools are in possession of books of LTSM, especially by the end of the year, so that in January when schools open, you are sure of the fact that schools have been sort of provided adequately. Challenges, there are very few challenges currently. For the past 3-4 years, we have been utilizing the services of the internal structures, because at district levels, we have officials who are directly responsible for coordinating procurement and all that. So currently, the system is running smoothly, and we seem not to be experiencing any problem. The book coverage has improved drastically or dramatically, and we are good currently in enforcing this retrieval policy. It's something that has been a problem, that our children will always lose books at the end of the year. But we have since enforced that by seeing to it that our schools are encouraged to enforce the retrieval policy. When it comes to National School Nutrition Program, we have 5,272 schools.
Okay, that's one too. School nutrition. But that's particularly with respect to the change that is due to school, if they are ordered as they are allocated amount.
Yeah, that's, we deal with that internally. We communicate with schools directly. Because there will be few schools who experience that problem. But we are able to look at the particular school, the needs of that particular school, and respond accordingly. If for whatever reason the school has a problem of not being able to provide adequately, we'll have to intervene as a department and make sure that that school, the top up and supply and the sort of funding it is provided. I'm not sure whether your question was. That's fine. Then the question of procurement of LTS, LSNP, we have 5,272 schools that are benefiting currently, and those schools are spread across the whole province, mainly in the rural areas and also in the township. The schools, the number has increased from 1.2 million in 2005, but today we are dealing with the numbers at 2.3 million, and the demand is still in such that most of the schools, in fact, I'm afraid that we end up feeding all schools in KZN, especially in the rural areas. If you notice that out of 6,000 schools, there are already 5,000 plus who are benefiting from this project. But economically, yes, it is true that a number of people are benefiting, especially in the form of cooperatives, SMMEs. Because it's decentralized, it's benefiting almost 1,882 service providers in the province. But if you look at the number of districts, we have 12 districts in the province, and the primary schools that are benefiting are over 3,000. It's 3,885, actually special schools as well as secondary schools, which are sitting at 1,352, the total of 5,272 schools that are benefiting. But if you look at the number of SMMEs and cooperatives that are benefiting, the number of SMMEs, there are over 1,777 SMMEs number of co-ops are 1708, and at the end we have 1885 clusters. And in each cluster there is either a cooperative, SMME, or an individual, or individuals. Its aim is to improve the economy of the province while benefiting the learners, because it has to have a balance between the two. That's what it does. With a very strong menu, as put in that slide, it's there, well looked after, so that learners don't just miss anything. We do experience problems where at times in other schools, they divert from the menu, but we are quick if there's a situation like that. But we haven't experienced any problem in the past, up to now, of learners who get sick and all that. The menu is well looked after. The supply of material, vegetables, is done by cooperatives, is done by agencies in the province, coming directly from the farmers in the province. So it's a local economy, farmers producing vegetables, supplying schools through the agencies. And that's how, and its benefits, you can see that the farmers, agencies, those who are running school nutrition program, and at the same time, we have a number of cooks who are benefiting in the form of mothers, over 12,000 in the province. But the question of monitoring is important and evaluation. We do that by sending teams to schools, doing a lot of checking as to whether they still adhere to the standards that we have set as a department, to see to it that food that is being supplied is in line with our menu. And then furthermore, in each and every district, there are officials that are directly responsible. When it comes to payment of service providers, we have improved a lot. We have tried and we are now paying them in time. Invoices get received from districts and they are processed at head office and the payment are effected as quickly as possible. And then the plan to pay on time is there, and there is a person that has complained that he hasn't or she hasn't been paid, or a company will respond quickly. But currently we are doing well in terms of payments, and we are happy that the school nutrition program in the province is running smoothly. Let's stop there.
Thank you. We welcome the presentation. We shall then proceed to Limpopo, after which then members will begin to pose questions to the different provinces. Over to you, Limpopo.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable members, my colleagues, the members of executives, officials here present. I can see it's taking longer than you are giving us, Honourable Chair, so I'm going to rather than harp on issues that the head of department will do, that will allow her to present the three areas that you have asked us to present on, and then we'll come in during engagement on members want us to elaborate further. So as Jim Tewana will walk you through the presentation that is in front of you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and members, MECs and HODs. While they're still searching for the presentation on the machine, I'll use my machine. We have confined our presentation to the terms of reference, which is the 2017 metric result, the centralized LTSM, and also the school nutrition program. What we have also done was, in terms of our metric result, we have given on the presentation the historical information since 1996, how we have been performing as a province, but also just the focus from 2014 to 2017, wherein we were at 72.9, went down in 2015 to 65.9, and 2016 again went further down, 62.5, but we managed to pick up and address the decline in 2017, and we moved up to 65.6%. In terms of the number of learners that we had for our full-time and our part-time, in total we had 124,000 learners, of which 100,000 were the full-time and 24,000 around who are the part-time learners. We have also broken them down per district, with our Capricorn carrying the largest number of 34,000, followed by Bembe 31,000, and then followed by Kukune at 26,000 and 22 for Mupani, with a Waterbeg with 9,845. Also, we have given indication in terms of how the number of learners have been increasing over the years, which I'm not going to go into, they are covered in the presentation. In terms of, again, we implemented the issue around the MIO in only in 2016 and 2017 as well. But just to give indication in terms of our 2017 learners who opted for multiple exam opportunities, that 13,000 of those have currently writing their examinations now in June. But just also just to share with the committee that we also are experiencing some few challenges around this aspect, particularly in areas wherein there are some service delivery protests, but we are managing the situation to see what can be done. We are also working with our law enforcement agencies in this regard to be able to address the challenges that we are experiencing. In terms of our district performance, we have made comparison for 2016 and 2017. As I've indicated, that in 2016 we were at 62.5%, in 2017 65.6%. In 2016 we had one district that performed below the national norm of 60%, which was Kukune. In 2017, Kukune also managed to improve to 67.3%. That was still performing below the national norm at this time, which has also been increased to 65%. And we have Capricorn of all our five districts that we resulted on registering a decline of 1.1%, with the rest of the districts improving, with Vembe registering the huge increase of 6.3%. Also, just to indicate, Chair, that we have also in this regard, as we try to work towards improving our performance for our grade 12 twinned with Free State, and we have taken Bembe District as well as Kukune, so that they begin to work together. You would also note in terms of their 2017, the improvement that was registered by Kukune is as a result of this twinning arrangement that we have made within the province and also outside the province. If we look at our districts, in terms of how they've been performing over the past 3 years, we have Waterbeg registering a steady increase over the years, which is something that is encouraging, wherein they were at 58%, 65%, and then 69%. But with the other districts, they are increasing, and then in the other year, decline and then increase. So that is not stabilized, but we are working to address that particular area. In terms of our bachelor performance from 2015 to 2017, we're sitting at 20.7%. In 2015, went down to 18.4% in 2016, but picked up again in 2017 at 21.4%. Wherein we, in terms of the numbers, 17,790 learners obtained bachelor passes in 2017. We have also looked at the performance for our progressed learners, so that we can begin to also measure the support, the impact of the support that we are giving to our progressed learners. In 2016, we were somewhere around 30%, but in 2017, we picked up and then the performance of the progressed learners is at 47.8%, with Vembe and Waterbeg at 65% and 63.8%. We also rank our circuits just to check in each of our five districts. Now, in terms of the education districts, we've got 10, but in terms of resulting, we result them in five districts. We have got in Capricorn, Petersburg that performed at 80.9, in Mopani in Goa performing at 85.85%, in Skukune we've got Cropless Dal Circuit performing at 74.6, in Mbembe we've got Chinane that performed at 93.8%, in Waterbeck Port Kidderfries performing at 78.6%. We also looked at the performance in terms of our subjects, but we'll only just touch slightly on the subject that has registered a decline, which is accounting, decreasing by 8.3%, with agricultural sciences at 6.7%, geography 1%, and then mathematics 3.9%. Also, in terms of our underperforming schools, the number of underperforming schools in the province also increased, also with the change of the criteria to be used to identify underperforming schools. In 2016, we had 695. That would include both public and independent schools. In 2017, 705. But also, even if the criteria was not changed, the figure would have still increased because when we tested that, we realize that we would still be sitting at around 600 odd schools that would have underperformed in the province. We also checked in terms of the schools that did not have any learner passing. In 2016 we had two schools, but in 2017 only one school. And we also tracked the performance of the schools that performed at 0% for the past 3 years, just to see how they've been doing so that we can, in terms of our targeted support, be able to provide that to the schools. We were also requested to just indicate what could have been some of the challenges and some of the concerns and the findings. In terms of the DBE and Umalusi findings, particularly around the 2017 examination, you would recall that in the previous years before this one, we had challenges around the exam paper leakages. But in terms of the report by Umalusi and DBE for the 2017, we also there were issues were commended for the improved and reliable organization of the marker database as compared to the previous years, and also the fact that in 2017 we ran an incident-free examination. Again, one of the issues that we have picked up as our own internal concerns, which we are also addressing, is the fact that you have more principals also applying to be markers, which then creates a challenge in terms of how the schools will be managed during the end of the academic year. Some of the issues that we have as challenges were issues around the security threats, particularly which is as a result of service delivery protests and also the increased number of education district circuits that we have as our exam centers. Also with the challenge around the rejection on our SPAs, which we are also have put strategies in place to be able to deal with. Just to indicate a few of the interventions is that we are working also with our law enforcement agencies in this regard, and also incrementally rolling out the transition from the 5 district to the 10 education district, and also to enhance the capacity of our educators to set and develop high quality examination, and also deal with the issues around the school-based assessment. In relation to LTSM, I can just indicate that in 2017 we had, in the current academic year in 2017, we also had a good year in the sense that we implemented a 10-point plan, which was also announced and endorsed by the Premier, and on a regular basis we report to the Executive Council in terms of the implementation thereof. I'll just share with the committee a few of the points that we have and we continue to implement and track performance so that we're able to deal with the challenges. It's more around us confirming with the DBE in terms of the new set works that will be coming in, which we do as early as April. again, one of the areas that we have strengthened that has also worked for us is the establishment of the district LTSM committee, wherein at a provincial level, it then gets chaired by the CFO. At a district level, you then have the chief director, district coordination, chairing this committee so that they can then track the implementation of our 10-point plan. Again, one of the areas that we have done, we have introduced the issue of the district warehouse, because previously we had only a warehouse at a head office level, but we have now the district warehouses, which then makes it easier in terms of distribution of our LTSM. One of the challenges that we had before was the fact that we did not have a service level agreement that was favoring government but only favoring our suppliers, but we managed to negotiate that out so that we can then be in a position to implement punitive measures, and we managed to successfully negotiate that service level agreement and signed it afresh, though it was also during the term of its life cycle. Again, in terms of our 10-point plan, we've got the issue around the implementation of the delivery plan, that in terms of the target dates that we have set, we try to stick to that, but when we closed the 2017, we had delivery of 99%. We had challenge with just one publisher who was supposed to give us about 2,201 books. But this is a matter that is receiving attention as well. Again, we also moved from a manual ordering to electronic ordering system, which is also working for us, but we are going to continuously improve on the system. One of the areas that also is beginning to bear some fruits in terms of this plan is the engagement of the stakeholders in this aspect, wherein on a regular basis we bring all our stakeholders on board so that we can then begin to take stock in terms of where we are and then deal with the issues around regular monitoring and evaluation of the processes. In terms of the challenges that we have around LTSM, it's more on the placement of the correct placement of the orders by our schools. But with the district committees and the provincial committees, we're beginning to address this challenge wherein we are able to pick up which school has not placed their order, and they will then request them to sign a certificate that they indeed do not require any order for a particular academic year. One of the challenges is still on the late delivery by our publishers, which will continue to enforce the provisions of our service level agreement. And the challenge that we still have in this regard is to the issue around the retrieval, because our intention is to make sure that we at least, at a minimum, retrieve 95% so that in terms of the top-up, we replace as little as possible. We are also going to implement the very same delivery plan, 10-point plan for 2019, because we saw it works better. So I will not bore you with the details in terms of our 2019, but processes have already started in this regard. There were issues, Chair, that were raised in terms of LTSM. The advantages of the centralized model is more around the benefiting on the economies of the scale in terms of the what happens on the if the order is less than what was budgeted for. Funds for LTSM are centralized at head office, and schools will give them their 100% norms and standards. So this the budget is not allocated to a particular school, but it then works within the for the benefit of the schools in this regard. And then in terms of the correct timing for ordering, it's around July, wherein we make sure that before the schools close for the next academic year, learners would have received the schools. In terms of the challenges, I've already talked to those I'll not repeat. And then also there were issues relating to why do schools end up getting books that they did not order. This is mainly wherein you'd find that in terms of the delivery, because we're using a supplier, they would then deliver to wrong schools. But we have now strengthened the monitoring at school level, wherein we request the school principals to check what they are receiving against what they have ordered. And thereafter, we do the mobile process wherein whatever would have been left or should not be at a particular school then gets redirected to the correct school. Also, in terms of all other aspects, we've also responded to the questions that have been asked. In terms of the National School Nutrition Program, I will not deal with the background because that will be the same across the provinces. But just to indicate that in terms of who are benefiting in this regard is the learners from our disadvantaged communities, particularly our quintile 1 and 2, 3, and I can indicate, and our special schools, I can indicate that in terms of the number of learners that are benefiting from this, it's over 1.6 million. In terms of buying and cooking, we have appointed 283 service providers who supply food on a regular basis to our school, and we have, in terms of cooking, we have got food handlers that we have appointed in the various schools. The menu also we have indicated it's as we have it from national, so I'll not talk to it, but we have put it on the presentation just to indicate on which day what is the menu for each and every day. The feeding time is 10 o'clock. And in terms of the number of the food handlers that we have, we use a ratio of 1:200, and in this regard, the province has appointed 10,559 food handlers to assist us with this program. The issue around the storage, Chair, you have also touched on this in your opening remarks. We still have challenges, serious challenges in terms of our storage facilities at our schools and also the preparation area. We have conducted a condition assessment for all our school infrastructure, and just to take out a portion that deals with the issue around the kitchen and the storage facilities, for us to be able to address that backlog, we need not less than 5 billion. In this regard, but we are continuously dealing with this item, but I'll also talk to it when I deal with the issues around the challenges. In terms of the eating equipment and utensils, what we have done in the 2017-18 financial year, we have transferred funds to schools for our three districts, Waterberg, Skukune, and Mohalako, and Capricorn. In the current financial year, we are also going to be dealing with the transfer for Mubani and Wembe so that all our schools would have proper eating utensils. In terms of who receives the foodstuffs, we have got delegated officials, educators in our schools who are supposed to check when they receive, particularly the issues around the expiry date, so that they don't receive the stock that would expire in the next 2 days or so. So they have been delegated with this responsibility to be able to deal with it. In terms of the challenges on NSNP, it's more around the inadequate infrastructure facility for storage and also preparations. In this regard, as our intervention, when we build new schools, the designs are that they also include the kitchenette and also the storage facility. And the last one is around the eating utensils, which I've indicated that we have transferred funds to three districts in 17-18, and in the current financial year we'll complete the two districts that are remaining. Thank you, Chair. This is an opportunity to engage by way of comments or questions or give some kind of guidance where you feel there is a need. But maybe before we come in, it will be important for DBE to come in and comment on the presentations or on the issues that have been raised. Let me hand over to DBE.
Thank you. Honorable Chair, from the perspective of the Department of Basic Education, I just need to indicate that we are working extremely closely with our provincial education departments in terms of the analysis of the 2017 data and looking at limitations and shortcomings and putting appropriate programs in place to address these shortcomings. We have various programs, and one of the programs that addresses specifically learner performance is the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. And we have a program in place, but on a quarterly basis at our national meetings, the provincial education departments report on progress made. So as a department, we are monitoring the progress. We're able to then identify areas in which there are weaknesses, and these are being dealt with. And I think for us, the major issue, Honorable Chair, is putting in place early detection mechanisms so that we don't wait for either the preparatory exam or the grade 12 examination to be able to indicate to us where the problems lie. And therefore, I think the collection of assessment data on a quarterly basis for monitoring and for the purpose of identifying areas of weakness is certainly assisting in this particular regard. From a perspective of new policies, I think the MECs have identified, and particularly MEC Gauteng, the policy on progression and the policy on what is commonly referred to as modularization. I think our concern in that area, Honorable Chair, is that with the policy on progression, initially the policy on progression was based on one principle, that a learner should not spend more than 4 years in a phase. But in addition to that, we've brought in new criteria, and the new criteria relate to aspects of learner attendance, completion of school-based assessment. And one would have expected the number of progress learners to decrease, but we're finding the opposite in terms of the number of progress learners increasing. And therefore, what we are currently doing is doing some kind of a case study and doing some kind of an evaluation to find out whether the criteria are being applied accurately. We are aware, Honorable Chair, that when one talks about progression, progression has to be accompanied by learner support. And I must commend our MECs for the fact that they have provided support to the extent that the province is capable, and we've seen that in terms of the performance of our progress learners. We've had overall over 40% of our progress learners nationally that were able to pass. For me, that's a significant achievement, because these learners could not make the grade 11 requirements, but given an opportunity with support, were able to be promoted in grade 12. And some of them attained distinctions. We had bachelor passes. So it simply means that the policy on progression is working, but there are areas that we need to attend to in terms of making sure that the policy is more closely managed. And then when one looks at the policy on modularization, where learners are allowed, and this only applies to progress learners, where they can split the opportunity over 2 years. And I think that also requires closer monitoring from our side to ensure that, you know, this modularization policy is correctly applied and not abused in any way. In terms of the exam readiness, I think we're doing a lot there, and like the head of department from Limpopo has mentioned, we had no leakages last year. So it simply means what we did last year in terms of identifying our weaknesses have paid out. And we're currently busy with provincial reviews with each of the provincial education departments to look at the 2017 exam, what were the problems in terms of your administration, how do we improve implementation, and that is certainly beginning to show that there are improvements in provinces. In terms of our LTSM, I think the East Coast monitoring, and Mr. Subban can add if he needs to, but there's certainly an improvement in terms of where we were and where we are down the line. We're not where we should be, but certainly we are aware of where the weaknesses are, and we're dealing with that. And my colleague, Dr. Kumalo, can add, if necessary, in terms of the school nutrition program. Those would be the comments from my side, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much for the input. Honorable members, then it's an opportunity for you to engage on the presentation. You will indicate the province that you are requesting to respond. Let me start this way. Honorable Hatin, Honorable Samka, then Honorable Mapuru in that order.
Thank you, Chair. Obviously, each one of these presentations can actually take a full meeting to really interrogate what was said here. I've just got three general remarks, and I'm impressed with the progress presented here by Gauteng. It appears that progress is one of the in the department. In general, like it was stated, there is progress and there are problems. LTSM, Chair, I think you would agree with me that what we hear here and what we normally hear in presentations are always very encouraging. Everything's under control and it's running to program, it's running to plan. But when we get out there, when we start asking what's going on, we find a different picture. The reality out there is not linked to what is normally year after year presented to us in committees. Even when we are in the districts, when we are in the provinces, presentations there does not talk to what we find then when we drive out and go into the rural areas or to schools. It's a total different picture. And there are always excuses, but it was delivered at the wrong school, wrong order, orders were switched, whatever. But the rosy picture that we find here in presentation is not supported by evidence out there in general. Then the question of progress learners. The statistics shown here actually reflect on progress learners who sat for exam, and it doesn't really give us the reality of once a person has been classified as progress, then the majority is actually lost for the system. They enroll, but they don't come for exam, drop out along the way, and I think it's this. I always find it, sometimes it's good that there is a competitive spirit among provinces, but I think we lose some detail in the competitiveness, where certain things are highlighted and some things are just not mentioned here. Perhaps in a day such as this, a very standard presentation form where we can actually just tick the boxes and write in figures to really get an idea what is going on in the provinces. Very difficult. We have provinces who come actually here to boast on their performances, and it's understandably so. Everyone wants to be proud. But in doing that, some things are underplayed, and those are the things that actually needs attention. Also, just on the PNSP, and I understand this is something that needs attention, but I'm not sure from what we've seen out there, that it always gets the necessary attention. In many instances, I would say in the rural areas, in most instances, you'll find that there is no storage facilities for food, and food are being made outside in the open. That is the reality. Very nice presentation, but Honorable Chair, you know how very caring people have to have innovative ways to make ends meet, to have the food, the right food there on time, in a presentable form, and I'm not even addressing the health risks that goes with this. I think we PNSB needs more attention, and perhaps we should get emphasis was put on new schools that should have facilities in place, but there are really schools that we cannot really say that this is an acceptable situation. On the other hand, food is better than no food, but the circumstances is not what we should be proud of in general. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Sanka.
Enkosi Chairperson, okokuqala Chairman, ndamkele ezi presentations ntathu from i-provinces, i-Gauteng ne-KZN neLimpopo. Chair, okokuqala ndizawukhomenta kule nto ethi if ujonge ezi provinces besezi presentation up, ubuthetha nge-Gauteng ina 15 districts. Then you have EKZN in 12 districts, iLimpopo in 5 districts. Mhlawumbi ke mandiqale ngolu hlobo tshe. Ndiqala ndincome iGauteng. Ndincoma ke uminister uyisufi ne. Ngulisufi. Ndifuna unqwale nto akuba ndifuna uba ndi-understand le selimle yakho kunye notitshala lo u-HOD. You know, kunento ethethwe apha ngupresident uCyril Ramaphosa uMatamela, into ethi ngaske i-department okanye le ndawo ubekwe kuyo uyive uyiphile. I think the MEC akakhanga alindele into okokuba i-presentation yakhe mayenziwe i-HOD okanye other person than yena, because uyayifilisha isegazini. Hayi, ndiyakhomenta kuba bekusenziwa i-presentation apha. Laa nto ke ethi xa ethetha upresident, esona sizathu esibulela umasipala bethu kukuba kudiploywe abantu abarongo kwindawo ebangafanelanga uba bakuzo. Yi-comment yam kuba indawo uthethwa ngupresident, because once you are deployed endaweni ingaske ibe le nto uzawuyifilisha uyayiva. Ndithi abanye abayifilishi because asiphiwanga ngokufanayo, but apho bendiza khona kule nto ethi we invited all MEC to present to the select committee ngendlela ababona ngayo into okuba kwenzeka ntoni kwi-areas zabo ze-operation. So ndizama ukuthi makasoske aqhube ngohlobo aqhuba ngalo. Andithi ezinye i-MECs azikwazi, but bingaske sive zona zidadele enzulwini laa nto zibacasa into okuba bayifilishe bangakhawulezi banikezele kwi-HODs okanye kwi-officials. Yindlela ke mna phindwe samka endikhomenta ngayo, ndingagxeki into, kodwa ndizama nje ukuba ngaske sonke sizokopa mosa zaninto okoba sihambe siye eSingapore sithi siya kwi-Stadtop sishiya iGauteng apha kufutshane siyokopa phaa iGauteng indlela ebenza ngayo, because if ujonga i-districts eGauteng ziyi-15 and xa ujonga i-percentage pass rate yabo akukho district e-less than u-70%. Uba ndimve kakuhle xa besenza i-presentation yakhe Chairperson. Loo nto isinika ukuthi sizezi provinces lapha sinako kuyofunda nto eGauteng indlela abenza ngayo. Kwi-presentation yakhe nindixolele ke andine-problem yokuthetha, andizuthi uba yenziwa yintoni, but nindixolele. Kwi-presentation yakhe xa ebesenza uthethe ngento yee-languages, zonke ii-languages zaseGauteng ziyatitshwa pa eGauteng. Umbuzo wami ke kuye izoba ngulo. Ingaba eza languages zonke basebenzisayo pa zezona kusetyenziswa zona na xa umzekelo kweli gama ke ndililibeleyo ngesiNgesi xa kutitshwa if abantwana base-Eastern Cape basebenzisa isiXhosa ingaba yeyona language na imedium of instruction esetyenziswayo na kweza zikolo ngokwee-areas okanye ngokwee-districts eziphantsi kwazo ezazikolo kusetyenziswa mhlawumbi isiXhosa if kusetswane kusetyenziswa isitswane na ukuze ke mhlawumbi ke nezinye i-district I mean i-provinces ziyikope laa nto because if ndisuka e-Eastern Cape apho kuthethwa isiXhosa khona kuba nzima kum uunderstanda the language enye ilanguage umzekelo isilungu ndifuna kasicacisele esihlanu but akakhange adangene kule nto ine-school nutrition because ndiyayithandile into eyenziwe yiLimpompo uwe iLimpompo kwiminyaka egqithileyo kule nto ine-school nutrition yayiyi-crisis because akukho ndawo uzokutyisela ne-food handlers ukutya bakubeka kwibrand kugqunywe ngelapho elingekho kini iGauteng inayo i-infrastructure whereby bayakwazi into okokuba amakhitshi abo abe akwesi standard sifunwa yi-national department akasikobisele so that sizawuya sikhe siye kule nto ine-school nutrition pha eGauteng siyojonga into okokuba benza kanjani nuqinisesi into okokuba xa uthetha nge-school nutrition uzithetha ngento yoba ukutya okunika abantwana funa kube koku kutya kuya egazini ndiyarhalela kwesihlalwa kakasikobisele into okokuba basebenzisa ntoni noso zathi nezinye ii-provinces zikope apha sizokukopa yiyo le nto sibize wenzela into yoba ukuba ngaba kuthiwa e-Eastern Cape sisasebenzisa ukuthenga ukutya kuze kuzotyisa abantu from outside okanye i-Eastern Cape ndenza umzekelo nge-Eastern Cape ezikolweni kulinywa igadi ukuze ugqibeleni kukhiwe ezakhaphetshu namazambane phaa egadini kunikwa abantwana kuphekelwa abantwana zana ukuthenga outside ndifuna sikobisele kakuhle kwenzela into baze sikope nto Chairperson kwakhona akakhange andimvanga because bendimphulaphule kakuhle kule nto inokuretrivwa kwe-textbook banayo ipolisi ukubikhona iyabasebenzela abanayo bona le challenge kwezinye iiprovinces ufumanisa into yoba esona sizathu esenza into yokuba abantwana bashesishe i-textbook it's because azibuyi yenzeke ngoku loo nto into yoba kube nzima ekubeni i-department izithenge I think she le nto yokucentralizwa kwe-learner teacher support material to i-districts yenye yezinto mhlawumbi endicinga into okokuba ibancedisile because xa i-procurement izawenziwa ethe provincial level yenza amaxesha amaninzi ngaphandle uba ndimve wrong kubaloku sikhe sindibaleke nam isingesi esingasivo ngaphandle uba ndimve wrong le nto yokucentralizwa komsebenzi kwi-district yenye yezinto mhlawumbi endicinga into okokuba iyabancedisa kwezinye i-areas more especially ekuthengweni kwe-material le ke encedisa ekufundeni iLimpompo chen I think isinika le picture le nto yenzekayo eLimpompo yabona ke umntu oza ne-picture nale nto yenzekayo mna ndiyamthanda ngu-HOD yabona umntu osinika i-picture yala nto yenzekayo because apha ezii-members zepalamente sikholo into okokuba sincedisane nee-provinces zani into okokuba kucaca into okokuba singutitshala esikolweni kukuba sincedisane i-picture osinike yona yilaa picture besiyifumene eLimpompo xa besiyile loo nto inika ke into ethi sihlalo ekugqibeleni bazawukhula because there is something on the ground. Also nalento ethi kwi results ngaseke kungafani nayizo ube khona I improvement but andizivanga zonke as provinces bezi except in Mpompo kulento ethi kulonyaka makulonyaka njengoba tatusufi I percentage besifumene u 82 lezumzekelo zise I target yethu sithi ngase simfumane u 90% and si ready ekubeni ngoku sibe abantwana bayabhala and bayabhasa ndiyayirhalela loo nto sihlala ndicinga into okokuba or ndithege neproblem I think in ngixolele kule problem yami yaziwa ndim nale nee-members ekomiti andifuna abanye babantu bayazi you know che xa ujonge ezi results ukhomperise iGauteng neLimpopo ina 5 districts iGauteng ina 15 iKwaZulu Natala ina 12 I understand nokokuba sithi iGaute iLimpopo iKZN zilali but if ujonge iGauteng iphantsa ifane nelali ndifuna ke ukubuza phaa kuye u-MEC leli pheli chiza balisebenzisayo ukuqinisekisa into kokuba phaa kwezaa zikolo i-monitoring ndirhala le nto ine-monitoring not into kokuba kuyiwe kanye unee-EDOs bazisebenzisa kanjani ii-EDOs okanye how often do they meet to make sure that ngokwee-meetings ebezihleli ezaa zinto bebethethe ngazo kuyafikelele kwakuzo zezo zinto sihlalo endinazo apha engqondweni ndiyabulela nokokuba undinyamezele enkosi
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think all of us, we are compelled to comment what Gauteng is doing. In most of the time, when a person has got a person has got challenges in the plan, then he comes out with remedies. I like that kind of a person because the MEC of Gauteng is able to tell us that if you are irresponsible based on our findings, we take away the powers. We do something about that. In other words, it says if you can't self-correct, Tena we correct you. It's a very good move. I like that. On the issue of teaching all these languages, African languages, we do appreciate that and welcome that because everybody knows Gauteng is for everybody. You find all the ethnic groups. You find everybody. Kwazas, Tswanas, Sotos, and everything. It's a very good move in what you're doing because our children will never forget their mother tongue. Let me give an example. My cousin is staying in Joburg. Then one day they visited home. So at home, when we greet one another, we say, Kuchong. Ne? That's how we greet one another. Now the father says Kuchong to my grandmother. The mother also follows. Now is the turn for the kids. The kids couldn't pronounce Kuchong. They said Kichweni. You see? Then we all so we all laughed. You see, then we said, no, it's wrong of us to not to teach our children their mother tongue. So what we're doing is very good. We cannot experience what we have been experienced in the past. Then Chairperson, I cannot comment much on Limpopo and KZN, and as Honorable Samka has indicated, we are rural, pure rural, like Eastern Cape. We cannot argue about that. We can't. We are rural, we are vast. With Limpopo, we mustn't forget that the Department of Education was under administration. And when we wanted to check with the national to assess the department, they said, they don't see any disaster You remember the issue of the service delivery protest in Vuwani. Then it is up to us to assist them, not to push them hard, to say, we understand the situation you find yourself in. Keep on trying. As we can see in the presentations, they are trying the best. Like Honorable Samka has indicated, we do applaud the effort that you are taking to see to it that everything gets into on track. I wanted to say, Chairperson, AI accounting is fading away. From Gauteng, that's what I've heard, from KZN and Limpopo also, I was checking here. Also geography in some instances and mathematics. Now, Chairperson, we have the land question. Are we ready as a nation to focus on developing our culture, like for instance, encouraging the future to become agricultural scientists? Because we cannot have this land and don't know what to do about it. Let me give an example. We were from Singapore. We traveled to Singapore. They told us that, because we were saying, why success? But no, the success is about a research. We check what will be good for the country in the next 30 years. Then we do a thorough research. That is what we're going to implement, because we know the economy of the country will be stabilized in what we'll be offering. So we are faced with this challenge. Can you tell us, MCs, that you have this plan or the picture in your mind to say now you want to focus on agriculture as one of the key pillars? Like in Limpopo, we depend on agriculture and tourism. So it is important for us to do. Gauteng doesn't have land. Everybody knows that. They don't have land. Let's forget about them. But that doesn't mean that they mustn't focus on agriculture as one of the pillars that will survive as a country. Most of our people in the rural areas, they claim the land. Prior, the farmers, the white farmers, were progressing in those farms. But the land is barren now, because we have claimed the land without understanding what we're going to do about it. So my plea is, let's focus also and encourage our children to consider agriculture, mathematics, geography as one of them, because like the Department of Human Settlement, they no longer build houses on each and every plot. What do they do first? They test the ground. So when these kids will do agriculture and geography, it will assist, because you can't just say, here I want to plow mini meal or I'll plow oranges or whatever. Will be a very progressive a nation. On LTSM, this one is a very challenging, more especially in the rural areas. We don't care. We don't own up. We just don't. We can hammer and hammer the department, but the main people, members, it's us. We must forever on a daily basis check what is in the school bag. Because you find our children putting their textbooks everywhere, whenever they want. At the end of the year, where are the textbooks supposed to return them to school? Mama, hey, they've stolen, hey, granny, hey, what? There'll be many stories. We must be a society that assists. We must own up what is ours, because this is our own property. But if we don't own up, we'll always say, department, why are you failing? Why don't you feel? What kind of measures? Those measures must be put by us. We are the first people as parents to put those measures to assist the department. So I think on that regard, I don't know how best can you do it. Maybe we can have Imbizos awareness campaigns to make our people aware that we need to own up as a society. On the issue of food handlers, we do appreciate that, because there is progress. We see Limpopo has got one, it's equal to 200, but we wish and hope let's improve, because taking care of 200 is enough for 1%. It's a heavy load. But I think it will improve as and when the future goes on, depending on our finances, as and when they improve, because everything we understand is based on what budget are we being allocated to. Let me appreciate the province of Limpopo about their memorandum of that number of understanding about the provision of LTSM, because here we can see there is a very huge progress. Like before, we have never had any complaint in the province that says we didn't receive. Pull up your socks. I think we'll be a better nation. But Honorable Samga has encouraged the departments that have presented to us that it is a waste of time for us to take money and go outside of the country, whereas we have people who can perform better in the country. We must go to Gauteng. Let's follow our pride. Let's go to Gauteng. Sit down with Honorable Lesufi. He's my cousin. let's go there and benchmark, because benchmarking is very good. If somebody is doing very good, let us not be ashamed to go and say, how did you arrive there? Because it takes a bold heart to take a step. So, Shabira. You got to go with I'm facing this. do what Honorable MEC Lesufi is doing. Don't be afraid to discipline where it is necessary, because we know in the rural areas you'll find that the teachers, educators sitting in the sun doing whatever they're doing. Let's take some drastic steps. I think will improve better than next year. We won't be talking the same things that we are talking today. Thank you very much, Shepherd.
Thank you very much. Just a few issues from my side. We'd observe that most of what the members said were actually words of encouragement and guidance, and with a few questions here and there that you'll respond to. But thank you, Honourable Members, for the engagement. Firstly, all the presentations were very good. They give us a picture that all is well down there in the schools where the operation is actually happening. But as the other members have said, it is actually concerning at times, because when we converge in meetings like these, we get very glossy reports, very good reports that are encouraging. But when we actually go to the ground, you find that it is not as good as we were informed as honorable members. And we'd implore that we really be honest with what is obtaining on the ground, because it is going to help you in the long run, to be honest. Gauteng, your debate, you spoke as though you were in a debate, and I was very impressed with your arguments and the facts that you did put forward. Not only did you present the challenges, but you did also present the solutions to those challenges, and how the whole issue of education is impacting on poverty and redress of the inequalities of the past. And I was particularly interested when you said the high performance is not only in the city schools, also in townships. You get a similar kind of performance, and that is encouraging. I wish you'd actually have a session where you share with some of our struggling provinces as to how do you go about achieving that kind of output. But you did not give us a projection in terms of you are performing at this level now, at this percentage. Where do you see yourself at the end of 2018? What percentage do you think you are going to be achieving at the end of this year? We would like to hear that, because we want to see improvement in metric results. But also, it is important to mention this. Let us not, as a nation, only look at what is happening at grade 12. The intermediate grades, the grades below, are equally important. If we pump resources only to ensure that we do the best at matric level, when there is a big gap and a big damage that is done with the lower grades, we are not producing quality education. We are fixing, we are using a polyfill just to fix the cracks. The foundation phase and all the phases that follow are critical, are of critical importance, and would employ MECs through your district to ensure that e-curriculum is finished even in those phases, so that it becomes much more easy for teachers in the higher grades to take over and further improve the quality of education. If we forget that, we are not going to get the quality that we seek to achieve as a country. I was still on Gauteng. You also said, you made mention of a very important issue of fourth industrial revolution, digitizing some of the content, which we did not hear from some of the provinces that have already presented. The whole issue of electricity, although I'm not talking about infrastructure, connectivity, making sure that we do much coverage of the curriculum within a short space of time, because there is connectivity and you are able to use technology that is assisting us to move forward. And we would implore that all the other provinces, understanding that there are financial constraints, that we actually focus also in making use of technology to dispense the curriculum. I know that they said even a simple cell phone like this of mine, learners, if they're taught how to retrieve information, they can actually get information. They can Google and get information and be able to improve in how they comprehend and understand content through research. The issue of equity, is it? Gender issues, where more girls are beginning to overtake the boys. I like that one, Honorable Lusufi. And I think when we looked at the distance for the national scenario, we did observe that as a nation, women are beginning to do much better. They are beginning to be serious, and that is what we want to see. Amantombazane are not educated to get married anymore. They are educated to be able to stand on their own and claim their rights and live a life that has got fulfillment, not only to say that they are going to be dependent on anybody else. Viva girls, viva. The majority of your schools, you say, are performing between 80% and 100%. That is also very commendable. And also the increase in the number of bachelor passes. But we did observe that the increase in the bachelor passes is in all the other provinces that have... One is a bit worried about the issue of the gateway subjects. Do we have qualified teachers teaching gateway subjects? Because the improvement is a bit slow. And yet I know when we pay the visits, we do observe that the numbers of physical science students or learners, maths, accounting, are not as big as the other streams. And yet the output is not as good. And then you begin to ask yourself, are teachers teaching these subjects qualified? I tell you, we went on oversight to one of the schools. I'm not going to mention the province because I do not want to embarrass anybody at this meeting. The teacher that was teaching physical science in that school, in that province, was teaching 5 learners. The result? 0. Pass percentage. Now, you ask yourself, if this person that is failing to teach only 5 learners the whole year cannot even afford to pass only one. These are the issues that cause us to ask if really the allocation of duty, allocation of teachers to subject is what is desirable for the output that we seek to achieve as provinces. the performance of no fee-paying schools, UTUMEC, it doesn't necessarily follow that I am living an affluent life. I'm going to do better than a learner in Soweto. Which seeks to say, it takes a good teacher in front of the learners who has got good methodology, who has got the command of the subject content, and supportive parents to cause a learner to pass. So these are the issues that we need to take care of and ensure that we deliver quality education. It's a societal issue. It's not the issue of the teacher and the learner. It is the issue of the parents, of the communities. I like what KZN does. It was not part of the presentation. But I've observed that, in actual fact, you heavily involve the king in issues of education because he commands such authority that is influential when he talks that you must go to school. Most of the learners will listen because it is a societal issue. Let me go to other provinces. I tell you, the members are correct when you say sometimes when we visit the provinces, we get to the storeroom where textbooks are stored. You find new textbooks full in the storeroom. And then you ask, why did you order the textbooks? Because apparently they're not in use. And then the response by the principal would be, a wrong consignment was delivered. And it was not collected. I ordered books, but the wrong ones were delivered. This is not what I ordered. Something else was delivered. These are all the issues that you say, MECs, pay attention to what is happening at the district level. Heads of departments, pay attention at what is happening at the district level and down to schools. There is a lot of wrong that is happening that needs your attention. Also, there are issues of corruption. Let us not hide that. There are issues of corruption that we need to arrest and deal with decisively as a department. You said the issue of procurement of textbooks, when the schools reopen, then there is a discrepancy. There are more learners coming in, and then there would be a shortage where students are sharing. And then I suppose then you do a top-up quickly to address that kind of situation. In one of the provinces, again, when we paid a visit, you found that in grade 12, four learners were sharing a textbook. Four. So these are the issues that we are saying. It cannot be correct. It cannot be correct that we see the kind of situation. You ask, did you not distribute the textbooks last year? We did. Did you retrieve a few students, handed over the textbook back to the school? Wasting government resources and not making a follow-up because there has to be something done if a student has not returned the textbook. It's either the parents have to pay or go and buy a book and do a replacement. We shouldn't be too soft. Because if you are too soft, then you are disadvantaging the group that is following. You arrive at a situation where four learners are sharing a textbook at the level of grade 12. What result do you then expect under the circumstances? Limpopo. I do want to commend you, Limpopo, for the results that you got. Given the situation that we had to face when we visited the province at the time when the schools were banned. Where there were schools where the principals did not know where learners were going to write their exams at that time because classrooms had been burnt down. Principals, we literally cried, they were in tears. But you tried as a province to ship in the temporary structures to ensure that at least the examinations are written and you improve from the results of the previous year, notwithstanding the challenges that you're facing. I do want to comment you on that one and say, much as you are not where you are supposed to be in terms of performance, mm-hmm. but to me it was a miracle. I expected a disaster in Limpopo last year, but instead you did improve. We do want to commend you on that one and say, continue to do the good work. And also, education in that province is a societal issue, because we also got to engage traditional leadership, various other government departments and other stakeholders, business, to discuss the issues that were problematic there. That is Limpopo twinning that you are referring to is also going to assist you towards the improvement. The issue of central procurement, it has got advantages. I don't know, still going to hear from the provinces that are going to present, deriving the benefit from the economies of scale, using the same catalogue, correcting irregularities if deliveries are not correct in terms of what was procured, and so on and so on. But I asked KZN when they were presenting as to when the school, those that do the procurement on their own, does the procurement and the order is lower than the amount allocated for the school, do you then take the funds back to the school? Because in some of the provinces, again, that you have visited, there were complaints that the funds that are supposed to be channeled back to the school, because the orders were lower than the allocation, that has not been done regularly. So that is my question to you as to, are you doing that? I could hear, Doctor, that you did not quite understand the question when I asked. The decline in Ushilo under Mamboro agriculture, I think we need to reignite the love for the study of agriculture. We just have to. Otherwise, we are going to lose very badly. We can't be fighting the issue of appropriation or expropriation of land. And there is no cohort that is being prepared to ensure that we make useful benefit of the land that is taken back to the people. So these are the issues when you plan your curriculum at the school level, when you plan the teachers and so on, are issues that we need to revisit in order to address that particular issue. The issue, school nutrition. There are no kitchens. It's an infrastructural issue, but it has got a bearing on school nutrition. There are no kitchens, food is stored anyway, in the principal's office, in the laboratory, somewhere where there is space, food is there. And it is very hazardous, and we would implore that really. Those are health issues. In fact, learners can die if food is not properly stored and properly handled. Learners can die. So we do not want to arrive at a situation where it is said that in a particular school, learners died because of food poisoning, because food was not properly handled, food was not properly stored, it was not delivered fresh, and all those issues. These are important health issues that we need to pay our focused attention to. Or LTSM that are not compliant with what was ordered are other issues that you need to look into. So I will leave the provinces to respond to the comments as well as to the questions raised by honorable members. We are not going to belabor the point because there are many other provinces that we still have to engage. We need to take a break at 1:30, a lunch break, and we'll go down to the old assembly to have spoon food, and then we'll come back to continue with the presentation. Thank you. I hand over to the province to respond, starting with Gauteng.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks for the opportunity. Let me thank all members that raised their advices and questions. We truly, truly appreciate your support. It's something that encourages us to work very hard, because we owe it to generations to come. I always argue, and I'll argue, and you'll forgive me as members of parliament, because sometimes when some of the programs that we have as government, we praise them as if they are permanent solutions. My argument is very strong. Until you see the budget of social grants going down and RDP houses going down and the budget of education going up, you must know you're not winning the battle against poverty. And that's our argument, that's our approach. That's why our obsession with the poor, because the poor don't have options. We have options. The poor are stuck there, and the only major thing that can take them out of poverty is education, education, education. So I'm quite excited with Member Harting's question on progress learners. I mean, we had 4,900 progress learners in Gauteng last year. We invested lots and lots of resources, because those are poor kids. If you check the profile of progress learners, those are poor kids. So to have out of 4,900, to have almost 3,300 passing matric, it's something that we cherish and appreciate. Because it means that the learner that was supposed to be in grade 10 is now going to university. That was supposed to be in grade 11 is now going to university. So the phenomenon of progress learners must be appreciated, because our argument is very strong. These learners will rather be in class rather than be outside class doing wrong things. So that investment, member, I think, it's huge, it's massive. And unfortunately, we don't necessarily get funding for that particular support. We have to cut on nice things in offices to have special programs to really support these progress learners. And to us, this is not a by-the-way program. It's a very important program, because it deals with the imbalances of society. It deals with the future. So if you can't invest there, you'll never get the things that we want to. We accept the issue of LTSM. We are not saying we are clean and all that, but we have to put monitoring system. Mm. It's a huge amount of money that we give to schools. And if you can't monitor it, you know, I always argue and address SGBs that members of SGB sometimes, if they can't be elected to be members of parliament, they hope they'll be members of the provincial legislature. If they can't be elected to members of legislature, they hope they'll be councillors. If they can't be elected to be councillors, they want to be in SGBs. Because that's the last public opportunity for them to manage resources on behalf of the state. So you need strong systems to allow you to say, yes, you can be a member of the SGB. If you have wrong intentions, will pick you up and flush you out as quickly as possible. We have created a structure we call SGB Dispute Resolution Council. It's a legislated parliamentary law that we have passed in Gauteng, where a single member of the SGB, if that member mismanages our funds, we can remove that person immediately and remove him alone rather than dissolve the entire SGB. So we have a targeted intervention so that we don't allow people that have wrong intentions to be members of the SGB. That's why I had to pass that law at the provincial level, so that we can resolve disputes within SGB. Because our education system is parent-based. So if you can get the wrong parent, you'll get the wrong school. So you don't have to wait for 3 years with the wrong parent running a school and come later every year and say the system is not working. You need to have programs to intervene and intervene immediately. And have the capacity to intervene. And that is why, even when we had, 2 weeks ago, when we had an induction of SGBs, we spent a day with all SGBs, and all of them. These are the do's, these are the don'ts. And if you cross this line, this is what is going to happen with us. And this is the level of training that we can provide to you. so that no one comes in and say, I don't know, including retrieval of LTSM, all those basic things, because it's the mandate of the SGBs to assist us, the recruitment of teachers. And we'll come here, members, when the Education Laws Amendment Bill comes for year for public participation. There are things that we really believe that SGBs must just kiss those things and goodbye. We can't allow this thing that SGBs must appoint principals as if we are appointing out counselors. Professionals must lead in the appointment of principals. Because principals, a school stands and falls on a good principal. We can say whatever that wants to. You can't have a principal that is appointed on the basis that one member of the SGB was bought a washing machine and therefore this person must be principal. You allow washing machines to appoint principals, must know that's the end of our education system. So we will argue and argue very strong in this house that the recruitment and appointment of principals must be reviewed. We are not saying SGBs must not play a role. There must be a professional identification and elimination, professional. By the time the SGB interviews, it must be on character and all other things, but not on the basis of the work that the principals that need to do. And we're arguing very strongly for that particular point, because we can't ignore there was a report on appointment of principals, and that report identified serious gaps. We just fold our arms and close our eyes and say, no, there's nothing we can do. This window of opportunity that is given to us by this legislation, it must allow us to close that thing. Like ourselves, we are asked to declare our business interest. SGBs must follow. You can't have an SGB member that does not declare their business interest and go and buy things on behalf of the schools at their own shops. It can't work that way. So that bill, when it comes here, we believe it will eliminate the gaps that we are seeing on LTSM, the gaps that we are seeing on school nutrition, and the gaps that we are seeing on school uniforms. So Member Harding, we have taken note of all those issues. And indeed, you are right. We can't claim that on the issues of LTSM and school nutrition, everything is right. That is why all the new schools have built, almost 57 schools, new schools when it came in since 2014. All those 57 new schools, we've incorporated a dining hall. Learners don't sit under the tree and eat there. They go to a dining hall, sit nicely, wash their hands, have a toilet there and all other things. Only 57 new schools that we have built. Because this phenomenon is stuck with us for life. So we must incorporate it within our plans of building new schools and deal with those particular items. So we've dealt with those issues. Thanks, members. I'm really humbled by the comment. You know, the issue of African languages is a medium of instruction up until grade 3. From grade 4, English comes in. English comes in. But it's English of African language, to be quite frank, because some of the teachers, when they teach, they still translate in our own languages. But the issue that we are facing in Gauteng is that because we are accommodating all other languages, there are some countries that wants to hold us hostage and say, introduce our language. I know in the inner Johannesburg, there's a popular language from Nigeria that they're requesting us that it must be part of our curriculum. That's the challenge that we are starting to face now. Or in the townships, people now are requesting that we must introduce French, or because we've got people that are coming from other countries. But generally, the African languages is something that we must protect and defend at all costs. It's a very important intervention. That is why we are introducing, with the introduction of African languages in former Model C schools. It's just that we don't have that financial muscle. We are still in grade 1, actually. We have moved to grade 2 now. So it will take us a lot of years, because all our schools now offer one African language in grade 1 and grade 2. All of them, whether you're a former Model C or an Afrikaans-only school, you are having a one African language that you must offer. So we are now at grade 2. Next year we are moving to grade 3. It's just that it needs huge resources, and it competes with other resources that we don't have. We pay food tenders $1,188 per month. That's what we pay. But the problem is that it's half a bread is better than nothing. But people want to be there permanently. We just want to have you for, say, 12 months, move, have other young people. Yeah, it's a battle. They will kill you for that. Because that's the only livelihood other people have. So it's very, and then there are additional demands. I think we've heeded to the unemployment insurance fund now. And now people march, demand medical aid, demand more, whereas we thought it's an interim intervention. So that's the main challenge. But we do indeed have facilities, food handlers. In each and every school, we accredit a school for it to give the necessary support for food. You can't just choose a class and say, I want to cook from this class. You must get authorization first from us, so that we can check whether there are no rats. So it's a very complicated, systematic process that needs to be approved before you can serve those kind of things. And I know we've got training workshops as well for food handlers that are compulsory. So if we've got 8 workshops, if you don't attend 6 of the 8, you can't continue to be a food handler, because we need the basics to be in place, how to change how to change the dishcloth and all other things, when to leave them in a certain dish for how many hours. So those programs that we have in the school, so that these matters are attended appropriately. And we've got mobile kitchens as well and other things. You know, retrieval of textbook in Gauteng, because we've introduced a paperless platform, starting with grade 12, grade 11, this year we're doing grade 10. With our grade 12s, the retrieval of tablets is a headache. Learners say, MEC, you introduce us to tablets and then you want us to return it and go back to books in universities. No, we want to continue with tablets. Go and speak to Minister of higher education that he must return these things to you. We really want, so that's the challenge. It's not that it's there. It's just learners have got used to using these things, and you want them to go back to an old system when they go to university. So the return rate is very difficult, I must be honest. It's a headache that we are facing almost. So to us, it's not retrieval of textbooks, it's the retrieval of tablets. Because learners are used to type, are used to utilize these things. At the end of the year, when they have to bring it back, that's where we are having challenges. But in terms of lower grades, every year, every November, we've got an advocacy campaign led by the MEC to tell schools to retrieve those books, because they are costly if you don't retrieve them. The costs are huge, so we do have that problem. And also in terms of textbooks, you can see out of 2,000 schools in Gauteng, it's only 200 schools that we are buying on their behalf. Majority of schools are buying on their own. We really believe it empowers schools, it empowers small business, and it also allows people to be responsible in terms of financial management. Our target, I've signed a performance contract with the Premier that we must reach 90% by 2019, and I've signed a performance contract with the HOD as well. So we are very reluctant to put targets there, because to move from 85 to 90 is not a chance play. It's not a chance, but our target is 90%. But in our corners, in our corridors, if we can beat Western Cape, we are fine, to be quite frank. But our target is 90%. That's what we've signed, and that's what we're working on. Chair, I'm glad Member Samge has raised this issue of monitoring of district. It takes hard work. HOD knows, and they thought, you know, when people you come at the department, I said, no, Umshado, Katata, Nyegelin. They thought so. They thought, no. This one, Uzo Katal. Every Monday, 7 o'clock, I meet with all district directors without fail. Every Monday, 7 o'clock. They know. Personally, myself and the HOD, we sit with all district directors. This is your target. Where are we? On curriculum, on infrastructure, learner support, learner dignity, everything that is very key. So that every Monday we take a certain problem and we analyze and monitor that problem. And it has assisted. That is why you can see our district are synchronized, because we are monitoring them at the same time. And the HOD knows as well. After July, we don't call district directors to head office for meetings. From July until they write exams, the focus is school-based. It's only at the beginning of the year that we do play. But after July, all district directors must support schools. And then we monitor the other performing schools with the district director. So if there is any school that has performed less than 85%, which some people say, no, MEC, you are unfair, we are at 80%, but you treat us as if we have 0%. Because if a school is at 80%, if you aggregate the 20 failure rate, 20 and aggregate them, you'll see that that's the reason why we are not performing good. So even the 80s, they must move to the 90s and 100s. And so HODs, anyone that has performed above less than 85%, individually, they must go to the HOD's office and account. Why are you here? What are you doing? And then the HOD annual monitors progress on the issues that they've raised. So those are the two strong monitoring mechanisms that we are utilizing in the province to assist us to deal with those things. It's very, very difficult. I don't know, maybe from our side, because we've invested a lot of money and recruitment in people who develop plans and monitor plans. You will see our department, we've got a DDG that is responsible for strategy, plans, monitoring, and evaluation. And I know the Public Service Commission attacks us to say, no, this branch is overpopulated. But we need to monitor every... We can tell you which school does not have a toilet seat now. Because if you can't monitor all those things, it's going to be very difficult to intervene. So you wait for a crisis to happen. So we've got a very strong monitoring institution that monitors everything, including what we are saying here in Parliament, so that by the time we come here, we know what are your common concerns. So there is a dedicated person that monitors performance and advises us to say, MEC, that district in the last quarter, they underperformed here and here, so that we can intervene immediately. Or that district, people take sick leave more than any other person. We can go there and say, no, Gandin Petwe Yinina, Nikula Gangak. So we have invested a lot of money, Honorable Mamburu, on the monitoring and strategic plans and outcomes, so that we can pick it up as soon as possible if there are problems and deal with those issues.
Honorable Isufi, just summarize, please.
I'm summarizing the summary of the summary.
Please.
Yes.
Other provinces.
I've raised the issue of retrieval, so I'm not going to go there. With the school nutrition chair, I think we are the only province with Western Cape, because the grants allow us to take care of 1, 2, and 3, quintile 1, 2, and 3. But in Gauteng, because we've opened our school, you find that a gardener can take the child to a Sandton school. It does not mean when the school is in Sandton, it means gardeners can't go there. And the gardener also needs school nutrition. So we've invested a lot of money, I think, from our provincial budget to take care of domestic workers, gardeners, unemployed people that are staying in the backseat looking for jobs in town. And that is the only area that we've been working very close with National to come to our rescue. And I know we've not won that particular battle, but it's something that we need to flag, because there are children of gardeners that are in town. They must also access school nutrition. You can't say that it must only be in the township. So that's one aspect that we felt, let's take this advantage and assist you. You know, I like this because that's what we are working on. What kind of an education system we need in the next 30 years. Are we still going to teach them about the carriers that we know, those carriers are vanishing? So it's a debate on its own, will come there, but I'm glad that Honorable Mambure raised it, because as an education system, we need to say learners that are starting grade R next year, by the time they finish matric, which carriers will it assist us as a country to move forward? Because you can't have this informal settlement forever. You need structural engineers that specializes in informal settlement repositioning. It can't be in any other world because they don't have a problem. We have it in Gauteng. So we need to find a way of responding to those issues, Chair. Gateway subjects, we've taken note of that. Chair, it's something that pains us, and I think we want to raise it with institutions of higher learning. I always argue, and I'll argue very strongly, there is no teacher that is taught or trained in university to teach in township schools or to teach in formal model city schools. All teachers are taught at the same universities, but their output is not the same. When they go to townships, it's different. When they go to rich areas, it's different. There's no teacher that is trained for formal model city school or township schools. All of them are trained at the same center. So we need to analyze and unpack when we deal with gateway subjects. Why are we struggling, but these teachers were taught at the same center? And that's a debate that wants to. But I must say, Chair, the reason we took a knock, I think in Gauteng and other provinces, there was a legislation that said foreign educators must be removed from our schools. That thing affected us badly, Chair. We understand the reason behind, the logic behind, but the removal of teachers that are foreigners, it really affects, especially on the gateway subject. It took a knock, but we've dealt with those issues. Chair, I summarized other things. I wish to emphasize on other things, but because of time, we don't have nothing. But thanks for the ideas and the suggestion, Chair. We'll utilize them as we arrive in Gauteng. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. On KZN.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable MCs, thank you very much. On the question as to what happens to the change of money that will be due to schools if their orders cost less than their allocation, we have this response that the allocation is sent back to schools. In the case of Section 21 schools, all balances are transferred to schools. But in the case of a non-Section 21 school, all balances are devolved to respective district offices for schools to access through the submission of EF72 form or document requisition forms for other LTSM resources, many of which we separate the Section 21 from Section 20, which is status. Section 21 says status. The money is devolved to districts for districts to access, and then those that where Section 21 sees status, it's sent straight or directly to schools because they manage procurement on their own. Then secondly, Chair, the question of performance in case, and I'm sorry my voice is down because of flu. We are improving, and we are performing at 72.8% from 60%. And our target, and that we want to improve by 8% this year, we are targeting to be at least performing at 80% at the end of this year. And we have noticed that the strategies that we have put in place after we have dropped 2 years in succession has necessitated, has improved, and enabled us to improve with about 6% in each year. Well, now we are now sitting at 72.8%, and we are sure that with what we are putting, the effort that we are putting, we'll be able to reach and to obtain the 80% that we are aiming at as a province. I must, Chair, say this, that the difficulty with KZN is on the question of the structure of the districts. Depending on how you define a district, go to KZN in Zululand district. That district will have, or currently has, 735 schools. That's one district. 735 schools. That stretch from Vryheid, Pongola to Nongoma. Vast area.
then other districts will have 435, 408, with the exception of Matuba, with less than 300 schools. So the districts are heavy and they are rural, but we are doing our level best because we have to put strategies. It's rural and there must be a strategy that talks to the location of schools within the area. But the improvement, I've seen the improvement. Out of 12 districts, 8 districts, 4 districts have been able to perform at above 80%. Another 4 performing above 70%. There are only 4 that are performing at 65%+. That's where we are working, we are focusing on. That those that are performing at 60% be removed from that category and be moved to 70-80%. That's what we are telling you, that our 80% will come from that effort to make sure that the districts that are sitting at 60-65, which I think there are only 4 of 12, are supported throughout. And that monitoring program that Honourable Member spoke about is intensified, so that there is a strong support to districts. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Limpopo?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. There are a few things that would be unique to us that I want to answer, except that in other areas, because we're dealing with the similar programs and we sit in the Council of Ministers, we part and parcel of how we improve our working together, and we learn from each other from those instances. I guess when you deal with the infrastructure for National School Nutrition Project, it can be that you want to deposit from where are we in terms of the infrastructure of schools. And therefore, whatever the challenges we have with the infrastructure for the school nutrition program, it's actually the similar challenge that we have in terms of whether we have adequate school infrastructure to cater for the learners at our school. So we are addressing those challenges in terms of our infrastructure program. And as a province, we have been improving a lot in terms of making sure that we spend the cents that we have so that we are not able to surrender it to Treasury. But also we have been working on strengthening the monitoring of the provision of the school nutrition, this project, so that we're able to identify what challenges are there in those schools and to what extent we can support and advise the school as to how to address those challenges. Yes, indeed, there are challenges in terms of retrieval of textbooks. In our case, we were at 90% last year, year before last, and now at the end of 2017 we've gone a bit lower. So we are improving, and from time to time, even in the current induction of school governing bodies, is an issue that we are raising, so that between us and the school governing bodies, we work, we support the principals so that we can retrieve whatever resources that are going to this, that should be available for the learners. Otherwise, we will have challenges to get resources to continue to replace books every year. And we experience the same thing in certain districts where you're working very hard to make sure that books are there on the first day of school, but essentially the admissions are much more than what they have told you they will be able to take, and you now have to order in January to make sure that you're topping up. But I must say, we also have always had support in the province. We never had a difficulty of finding resources to be able to top up. The issue of districts, obviously, provinces are unique. The distances we cover are a challenge. The location of our schools, we are, now that National has developed a policy on district, Limpopo will have 10 districts, and we are working around the clock to make sure that we are beginning to practically resource, an issue of resources in our case, to make sure that we are able to function from 5 to 10. We have progressively been filling posts in those districts. We are now beginning to fill to make sure that we will even use the 10 districts so that we result using those districts. We're learning to from each other, even in terms of consequence management. So we take advice and your comment that there might be areas that our colleagues are doing well. Honorable Mamburu, you're raising the issue of consequence management. Now our colleagues in Gauteng are managing. Actually, there are a lot of things we are also learning from Gauteng, where we found that they are doing better, but also we are learning from the other provinces. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. No, thank you to the provinces that have presented. As we did indicate that we do welcome the input that you have made, it has given us clarity on the issues as well as the challenges that you are facing and the strategies that you have put in place yourselves to ensure that you deal with those issues that you are facing. But we are looking forward to 2018 with improved metric results, with the commitments that we are making in terms of projections, and pray that no province is going to backslide. All provinces are going to improve from where we are now. No further 0% performing schools in metric results are going to manifest in 2018. That is the thing of the past. Let us go and give them all the support that we can as we prepare now for examinations, revision, finishing the curricula, so that at the end of the day we present candidates that are fully prepared to sit for the matric examinations. We really do want to appreciate and commend you for the good work that you're doing. Comparatively speaking, we do sit and compare ourselves with other states in the continent. We are doing reasonably well, but there is still a lot of scope to go and continue to do the good work, but we expect much more. We are looking to a time when South Africa will have 100% pass metric, and we say at that time we shall have arrived. Thank you very much for the input. We can then release the provinces that have presented. You are going to go down to the old chamber for our lunch and quickly grab a meal for 20 minutes and come back and converge and finish off before the time allocated. Thank you. The meeting is adjourned.
That's no problem. Sorry, it's the only black one I have, otherwise. No problem,
sir.
Thank you so much. You set the pace for the rest of the day. I only hope you have a branch. Yeah. I don't know where you get the energy from. You've got some internal combustion engine.
Because I come from
every Monday. Yeah.
Because I come from it.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, sir. Cheers, eh? Cheers.
She's
the one that knows it all. She wants to know something about the school nutrition program and this issue about junk food making its way to schools. These are the two ladies.
Oh, okay, I'm sitting with them.
You're sitting with them.
Thank you very much.
You've got a question on school nutrition.
Oh, okay. I'm so
from the parliamentary monitoring group,
operators is enforceable against the tax shop operators?
Not necessarily enforceable.
Okay, it's just a guide.
It's just a guide to say to the school principal or the school management team, when you have operating a tax shop, take into account these things in order to give learners healthier options. But it's not enforcing, it's not regulating, it's not controlling. We can only just but motivate and encourage them to say there are alternatives that you can give the children in the school community.
And so even that is beyond your jurisdiction, like the actual tax shop. It's with the Department of Health.
See, the Department of Health must come and inspect,
okay.
Must come and make sure that the food works. I don't know, they operate like a general dealer, dealer shop.
Right, okay.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
So I think that they must.
Are we not going for lunch?
And the certificates of acceptance are done by the environmental health practitioners that are based at the local health department. And the other thing that we have done to mitigate is also have a food safety team.
We have
a very close contact with the Department of Health. And these are the things that we will bring to the table, you know, so that we can find it's a problem.
So, and they know
food vendors, we have not even touched. Because the principals actually allow them in the premises. But then they also allow them in the premises because they say that, they are finished.
Oh, no.
We haven't refilled. Because they also, you know, from a safety point of view, they don't want learners to go outside the school premises because they lock it in the gate and stuff like that. So they have allowed them in. Now, when they allow them in, it's working against the school nutrition. Because we're saying we give learners balanced and nutritious milk. So it's actually, you know, just working against our goals and our objectives.
And then do you know if the Department of Health is actually making any progress in this regard?
Happy with them. Yes. I don't know whether they are.